someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
Yeah, it is. Hey, you wanted the best, you got the best. The hottest talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters Mornings Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio everywhere in the world. That means if you've got iHeartRadio on your phone and you go anywhere, you go to Ireland, you go to, I don't know, Australia, anywhere you go, you can listen to the show with iHeartRadio. It's pretty cool, so pop it up there. We also have a bunch of podcasts you'll love, and also you can find our YouTube channel. It's Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. And you'll like it. We have it on all day during the show, even during the break. Sometimes we'll chat with you during the break, so that's kind of cool. And what's up? It's a beautiful Monday. I'm Russ Rollins, host of the program. And with everyone this morning, we're going to do this until 11 o'clock. The producer's the Angel of Boom, Angel Rivera.
Good luck.
To my right, Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never stop, baby.
Right beside him is TED Talk Savannah.
Hey!
And the actual heir to the King of Denmark is Ryan Holmes.
Yeah!
Here's the telephone number if you want to call us. It's 407-916-1041. Now, we'll open up the phones a little bit later and just do open phones. We'll play some trivia. You have a chance to win some stuff. You got all kinds of stuff where you can call in if you want to. Texting us is easy. People have already been texting me this morning. Thank you so much. I do my best to text you back at 77031. That's the number. Save it in your phone, and you can text all the shows here on Real Radio 104.1. But, you know, we like to chat with you and talk to you and text you back and sometimes use what you're saying on the air. So that's pretty cool. It's a Monday after Easter. We're going to find out how everybody's Easter was. But, Savannah, I feel like we haven't seen you in a month.
You haven't.
It's been a couple weeks at least, right?
Yeah, it's been way too long.
So you look great. You look like you had a good time. I was following you on social media and stuff in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. It looked like you had a great time.
It was an amazing adventure. That is for sure.
So, okay, for those that don't know, because I talked to someone the other day, they're like, whatever happened to that Savannah? I said, Savannah? I'm like, she's on the show all the time. She comes on all the time.
That's what I tell people when they say the same thing.
Yeah. I said, she's still on the show. It comes in once or twice a week. But they miss those days. So for those that don't know, just to kind of re-up you a little bit, is Savannah works for Gatorland, and she is like the brand ambassador.
I'm the international ambassador for Gatorland Global. That is our conservation wing.
Yeah. And so you've been going global. I mean, you've been to Cuba, you've been to Australia, and now you went to Jamaica.
Jamaica.
And I did not know that they had crocodiles or gators in Jamaica, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, they have American crocodiles. You know, we have American crocodiles down in South Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so 17 countries have American crocodiles. In Jamaica, they're having a really hard time. And so I went over there on a conservation trip. I was in the middle of nowhere, Jamaica.
Now, for those that don't know, so when you go on one of these trips, it's
nowhere,
not like
Jamaica.
It's not like they give you a 5-star hotel.
No.
Yeah. You go.
So I stayed at a field station that was completely solar powered, and the water was rainwater.
Oh, okay.
So if there's no sun, which thank God there was in Jamaica, the power doesn't work. And there's definitely no AC, and all the water comes from the rain.
Now, I can imagine in Jamaica, it's probably a nice 72 degrees over there, right?
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
I remember the first morning I woke up, and it was 97 degrees. And
in
that was at like 8 in the morning.
So they're just sweating. They're used to it. They're just sweating
To it. But, you know, I'm kind of fair-skinned, and I'll fry up real quick. And but I had an amazing on the floor, yeah. It's like a foam. Like you get a big piece of foam.
Oh, like you slept on the floor like prison.
Well, it wasn't like prison, but yeah, I slept on the floor.
Oh, wow.
It was an amazing trip. I got to see bats, which was cool. Like, because we had to hunt down all these crocodiles, right? We had to find them.
Where were they?
And
apparently under the bats.
You know, they hide.
They're hiding.
I don't know if you saw.
Really good at hide and seek in Jamaica.
There was one that jumped out at you. That was
I was going through a tunnel at night, so the only light was like a spotlight. But I knew there was a crocodile on the other side, which is it's a crazy, scary situation to be in.
Savannah, that is crazy.
So I climbed through this I guess it's a drainage ditch, yeah. Right? A drainage pipe.
You're climbing through a drainage ditch in Jamaica.
This sounds like a great trip. Yeah.
And with no hospital, awesome. No hospital anywhere close.
This
and
is
I
just like sandals.
And you found a bat.
I mean, and I found a bat. And
the bat was like, what the hell are you doing here?
Samantha.
I don't even want to be here.
Samantha, as you are in the dark, in some murky water in Jamaica, in your mind, is there anything that goes through your head that goes, man, I could really get hurt here.
Does no.
It, you don't think about it.
I'm a badass bitch.
What I thought was, American crocodiles are naturally shy, right? So if they saw me coming through their drain tunnel.
That's what everybody says about the old
naturally shy.
Crocodiles. Like, one thing I know about them. They're shy.
Looking for the shy crocodile.
They're introverts. Oh,
that's a good band name, Shy Crocodile.
It does, yeah.
Shy Crocodile.
It's like a Boy George cover band or something.
So you're going through.
Just look at the ground the whole time.
Yeah. In the dark, you're going
and
through.
And I see something on the top of the drainage ditch. Like, and I'm a big girl to be climbing through a drainage ditch. Let's just be real.
You're tall.
And like I see Jamaica something, city. And I'm like, what the heck is that? What is on the ceiling? And so I shine my spotlight, because that's all I had was a headlamp, up at the thing, and it's a bat.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what bat.
The noise bat makes. And it was showing me its little teeth,
and then all of a sudden it flew straight at my face.
Gave me rabies.
Hey, question. And look, we've known you forever, so we don't second guess you at all. I know you're a bad bitch, but when you go to somewhere like Jamaica and there are other guys there that are hunting crocodiles or whatever, and they see a female, they don't know you. They don't know, you know, what you're like.
No.
Do they question you? Do they treat you differently? Are they like, oh, God, there's a girl coming along? Like,
No. It never gets to that part. Because I'm on it from jump.
So they know from beginning that you're not going to take that.
Yeah.
They look at her. They go, I want the jammet with you. You jamming?
What do you do?
Well, I hope you like gators too.
What do you do to let them know that you are you're right up there with the men?
You know, some people just walk into a room and there's like a presence where everybody's like, "Whoa, what's this?"
You carry that about,
So it kind of happens like that.
So you're loud when you walk in the room.
Not loud, but I think I mean I'm a big girl, right?
Hey, you said it.
Don't say it like that. You're tall.
I'm a tall girl.
Amazonian.
I'm really strong. The people in Jamaica were amazing. The kids are super cool. I talked to everybody in Jamaica I could talk to.
You speak Jamaican?
No, but if anybody even looks like they want to have a conversation, I'll jump in it and have a conversation.
Huh. Did you pick up any Jamaican words? Anything?
Teef.
What's that mean?
So if you're going to thief my phone? Like, that means you're going to steal my phone. I understand that. Also, what are you going to do? You're going to thief something out of the back of my truck?
You're going to thief my phone.
You're right. Exactly like that.
I'm going to thief my phone. I got me a new T-Mobile Sidekick.
It's funny because where we were in Jamaica, it's not a tourist destination.
What city were you in?
The closest city that I could think of was this place called Holland Bay.
I love Negril.
I had to drop a pin, but the closest I could drop a pin was like 30 minutes away from where we were.
But there's no like room for like 5-star like restaurants fancy.
I mean, honestly, this trip, sometimes we ate and sometimes we didn't.
When you did eat, what'd you eat?
Jerk chicken off the side of the road, and a little thing called a festival, which is basically like a dumpling that they make on a grill. I had some curry goat, and but sometimes there was food and sometimes there wasn't. Like, I wasn't in a place where there's always access to food. Mm-hmm.
Got Uber Eats there?
No.
I figured just call Uber Eats.
So I ate a lot of jerk chicken when it was available, and I ate some curry goat when it was available. But I will tell you this, there ain't nothing like just a good old cheeseburger. I couldn't wait to have a cheeseburger when I got home. I was so excited.
So, okay, you've been now, you've been to Cuba, and you've been to Jamaica, mm-hmm. So and you've been into the swamps of Cuba. Into the swamps of what's the difference? Both are in the Caribbean. So what's the difference between Cuba and Jamaica as far as you're concerned?
You know, I don't know how to say it.
It's an entirely different culture.
It is definitely a different culture. There's not any crime in Cuba. Right. There's definitely always a police presence.
Yes.
And I would say it's a little bit safer. Now, nothing happened to me, so I'm not trying to say anything bad about Jamaica.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's, I don't know how to say it. My heart is always in Cuba. Okay. I'll say it like that.
Okay.
And I love Jamaica, and the people were wonderful, and it was a great place, but my heart is always in Cuba.
Yeah, well, your heart is with the Gators, right? So, and so must be some sort of perception they have. Do they look at the Gators?
They
and crocodiles?
Do not. They do not. They do not like their crocodiles very much in Jamaica.
Oh, really? Okay.
All right. So
they're not a fan. I did not meet one person, with the exception of the people that I was with, that was like, "Yeah, let's save them."
No. Yeah, they were like, "Let's eat them," right?
Yeah. No, they didn't eat. Okay, so Jamaica never ate crocodiles until another culture moved into Jamaica with a very strong and wealthy presence in Jamaica. They taught the Jamaican people to eat crocodiles.
Who that is?
I don't think I should say that.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. I just feel
Is it a fact?
It's kind of a fact. There, you know, in every culture, there are different influences that come from other places.
That's exactly how America was born.
Some of those places eat crocodiles, and Jamaica never did, but, you know, now they can, and it's an endangered species, and so you don't want to eat that. I don't know what the solution is over there. Like, I was completely blown away by so many things in Jamaica.
Were crocodiles and gators bigger in Jamaica than in other parts of the world?
The American crocodile gets to be one of the biggest crocodiles in the world. So, yes.
Because you're talking about remote areas, right?
Yeah. Like,
way remote.
They're a different kind of crocodile as well. I think the thing that shocked me the most is, you know how you hear about Trash Island?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And you know how you hear about the damage that plastic can do?
Yeah.
Until you're in the middle of it, you can't even fathom how extensive the pollution is.
And overwhelming.
Where at?
It's
one of the pictures that she posted, that video was just heart-wrenching.
Yeah. In Jamaica?
Yeah.
In Jamaica. And here's the thing. It's not Jamaica's trash. Like, some of it is Jamaica's trash, but the way the current flows there, it brings it from Haiti, it brings it from Trinidad, it brings it from Dominican Republic.
All the islands.
I thought Trash Island was out in the middle of
several. I'm not saying Trash Island. I'm saying on the beaches where the crocodiles need to nest.
I gotcha.
And where the sea turtles need to nest.
There's a lot of trash.
I could have taken 100 people over there, and we could have cleaned it all up in days and days and days, and it's just going to come back because it's coming from all around the world.
Right.
And as a society, we can't even agree on anything. So how do you fix that problem? That is the biggest. That loss of habitat is the biggest problem in Jamaica.
Mm. Somehow make money on it.
Well, and that's the thing. So if you want to, you have to attach a value to the animal in order for people to want to get behind it, right?
Similar to hunting and you know, African wild.
And so,
if that trash became valuable and it was, you were able to use it to burn and to turn it into fuel or something.
Now they're innovative people.
It's happening right now. Yeah. That's the way things work within our society. Somebody has to see, okay, well, that's going to make money and then I can supplement this. I mean,
right. Well, and I saw, where the fishermen go out in Jamaica in this one area. Like, I saw crocodiles in the ocean. That was the craziest thing in the world.
That's unusual, right?
Yeah, so they're in the ocean and,
how do they handle waves? They're just like, woo!
Dude, they surf those things. They'll get on a current and surf the waves.
That must be the scariest thing ever. You're out in the ocean.
I can't even imagine.
Oh, my God. Like, you're not, what is this? Get off my wave, crocodile.
Get off. And they're brackish water, so they just kind of...
So they're all the mangroves, just like down in Key West, just like down in South Florida. There are the mangroves with the fresh water, and that's where they like to have their babies, because when the babies are born, they develop their salinity glands after they're born, so they can't be born, hatch out in the salt water.
I mean, I know what salinity glands are, but if you could just tell it for the audience, that'd be dope.
When baby crocodiles hatch out, they're not allowed to... They can't take the salt water yet. Like, that's a thing that develops after they're hatched out. So there's big ocean over here, and then there's mangroves and freshwater over here. And in between that area is where they like to nest. Mm. And not just crocodiles, if you don't like crocodiles. Sea turtles as well. But I have no idea how any of them could survive in everything that I saw.
With all that trash?
Yeah. And again, it's not just from Jamaica. I'm not trying to say anything bad about them. It comes from all over the world.
Right, right.
But the currents bring it, and then it goes up on the shore. And they are innovative people. Like, I saw a raft fashioned out of plastic bottles.
Right.
Like, you just put the lids on all the plastic bottles. You wrap them all up in fishing net. And then you have, You can go in the ocean. It that's innovative, I think.
Cubans made a cruise ship out of it.
First thing you did when you got home.
Took a shower and ate a cheeseburger.
Ate a cheeseburger, yeah, that's a good call.
The shower was very important.
We're going to catch up with everyone's Easter from over the weekend, and we got prizes to give away today. We got a bunch of stuff coming up, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
You're listening to Real Radio 104.1, online at realradio.fm, on your phone with the free iHeartRadio app, and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. We are an iHeartRadio station. Radio.
Hope you guys had an amazing Easter. Mine was pretty good. We'll go around the board and find out how everybody else did for Easter. Remember, today you have an opportunity to win $1,000 all day here on Real Radio 104.1. We've given away $5,000 so far. You can be the next one to win $1,000. Just keep listening for the keyword. What's up? I'm Russ Rollins along with Angel and Carlos. Savannah, Ryan Holmes all here today. My Easter, this was the first Easter in a long, long time that I can remember where I didn't have it at my house. Usually we have it at my house, but because moving and everything, Mary Ellen and I didn't think we'd be ready and all, settled in order
you
to have everyone
ready to open up the museum.
And of course I was wrong. We are ready. We would have been ready. But my sister also bought a new place and she has more room. So she said, hey, we'll do Easter this year. So it was the first time in forever we weren't doing the celebration. And, it's weird because it didn't feel like a holiday because we didn't have anything to do. We woke up and we're like, because I asked my sister, can we do anything? She said, just bring beer. We got everything else. You don't have to make anything. And without having a task to do or something to do Easter-wise, I was like, it just seems like a regular day. We're just going to go over for dinner or whatever. But and it was our first holiday without my dad, which was, kind of rough with my mom, But other than that, it was a great Easter. Everything, it was kind of hung out with, Bo was over there, and you just had family, and it was all
nice.
Pretty good. No real little kids, to watch them.
Is there a Rollins food mainstay?
What'd you guys eat? Yeah, I know you had deviled eggs.
We had deviled eggs, and then my mom made chicken divine, which is
That's one of her signature dishes.
Yeah, one of her signature.
And how was your mom?
She
didn't have fun on Easter with you guys.
You know what? She's still grieving, man.
Of course she is, but
yeah.
You guys were able to lift her spirits at least when you were all together.
We tried to get her to laugh. We were trying to get her to laugh a little bit and everything, and there were some light moments. But it's all new. But you know what I found? This is came from somebody else who's a counselor or whatever. If she wants to talk about dad, just talk about dad. And so we ended up talking about dad a lot. And then Carla decided my sister decided to light up a cigar in memory of dad.
That's great.
And she's sitting there, and I'm like, Carla, I didn't like cigars when dad was alive. Why are we doing this now? And she's puffing and coughing and everything.
Your dad didn't smoke the best cigars either.
No, he didn't.
I smoked a lot of cigars in my life.
He didn't care. Yeah. Yeah, but that was making mom laugh. So, we were trying to make her laugh a little bit. But other than that, it was just, it was weird though when we didn't have a lot to do that it didn't seem like Easter as much. But once we got there, it was very nice, and Carla did a great job.
Oh, you guys didn't hide X for Z or anything?
No, my sister did is to surprise Z is she had a bunch of plastic Easter eggs and had candy on the inside, and the night before she hid them all around the yard. And then when we got there, she's like, "Would you look at what happened? I guess a raccoon had gotten in and opened every one of them, every one of them, and just left the plastic there, but ate all the candy
raccoons
out of it.
Raccoons like eggs,
I guess so. Yeah,
chocolate.
We fed our raccoon eggs yesterday. I never would have believed it, but I watched them crack all the eggs open and eat all the food inside.
Oh yeah, they're no dummies,
Wait, you have raccoons?
No, at Gatorland.
At Gatorland, yeah.
She works at Gatorland.
I know, but it's not called Raccoonland.
That's true. So I'm getting it hard.
I figured she might have had a room full of raccoons. That's not out of line.
And the raccoons have those little fingers, too. When they gave him the eggs, because I was filming it, I thought, no way is that raccoon going to be able to get in there. Sure enough, he got his little fingernails in there, popped it open, ate everything inside.
And they flicked you off.
They take the candy out of the wrapper, too.
I
mean, they're, yeah.
Yeah, I watched one peel an egg yesterday.
There is a raccoon mayor in a Popka.
There is. Okay. How was your Easter, Carlos? You guys do anything special?
We did a lot of Easter stuff.
Yeah.
Easter's a very big deal for my wife and my daughter.
Right.
And we did everything from the Easter egg hunt to the making of the Easter eggs
The
Big surprise. I didn't know. Well, I realize now after having a daughter for 8 years that Easter, you get a big present.
Yes.
Yeah.
Never had that growing up. I got gypped my whole life. Didn't get nothing.
You got a chocolate bunny.
Nothing.
Gypsies are
mad. Nothing. Nothing. I never got anything for Easter growing up. We just didn't celebrate it. Mm. I don't know why. My friends would get candies and stuff, and I'd be like, what the hell? But it's a big deal in the Clifton household, so we went over to Gigi's, my mother-in-law, and my daughter got a new bike that the Easter Bunny.
Oh, wow.
A bike?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an excessive Easter gift.
Easter bike?
Hey, gift for Easter for us when we were growing up, it was just the basket and maybe a couple little toys, but not like a bike.
Not that in fake this grass that just gets everywhere.
Right, right.
And my dog ate like a pound of that and was coughing the whole day. And every now and then a green little
turn into Rick Ross.
Yeah. And but it was, I mean, I get a lot
kids,
of joy.
When you have kids, Easter's the best.
And she writes a letter to the Easter Bunny and the Easter Bunny writes her back. And
that's cool.
And so we went out, we had good food. I had a steak for Easter dinner. Yeah, she asked me. Gigi's one of these
that's
people.
An odd Easter thing.
It is. I'm not
usually
a ham
it's
guy.
A ham.
I know they had ham and ham's okay in my Cuban sandwich, but I'm not a sliced ham, you know, guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, what do you want for dinner? I was like, filet mignon.
Wow, wait a minute.
If you're going to ask me.
If you're asking.
I didn't go, can you make food? And she's one of these people who loves to cook.
Yeah, so
and
she
loves to make food and loves to give. That's her way of showing love.
Filet
mignon. Yeah, but everybody else ate spaghetti.
Right.
No, everybody else ate good, too. But, yeah, it was a little.
Man, I wish I knew somebody like that that loved to give and cook.
And then we got home. I mean, we took a nice little new bike ride with her bike. And we had a lovely, wonderful Easter. Shout out to the Easter Bunny.
How about you, Angel? You guys, I know your daughter was in town, right?
Yeah, I had her. So we did our thing Sunday morning, and we did the basket thing. I gave her a basket, and we did some eggs around the house. And then she went and hung out with her cousins. My weekend was jammed because I was working downtown every night.
Hey, how are you guys on Easter with bringing flowers to, like, you know, any mom in the...
Is that a
Easter flowers. Yeah, in my family it is. You know,
that's a cool one.
So I took flowers to my sister, to my mom, you know, to Mary. Like, I don't know. Like, so nobody else does flowers on Easter?
I got one up by my mom. My mom came and she brought an Easter basket, which I had forgotten Easter basket's a thing, and I had nothing for her.
Oh, way to go.
And then
nice one.
And then I'm just like, oh, hi.
She's your son, though.
It's good to see you. Like, it was weird to get a gift and not have a gift. She got me this sweet shirt.
Oh, nice.
So, but it was just like when somebody brings you a gift and you have nothing, you just feel awful.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I recommend getting people things from now on.
Yeah, well, flowers are just, you know, I don't know. It's
a nice thing. It's like it's an easy to pick up nice thing. You can stop at a Publix.
Yeah. Did you do anything else for Easter?
I ruined it.
Oh, what'd you do? How'd you ruin
no,
Easter?
I didn't ruin Easter. Oh. No, we went, my mom came and we went to Garibaldi's. We had a nice Mexican dinner.
Off your suggestion, I tried to go there Friday night.
So busy.
But it was, Saturday night. And it was so busy we couldn't get a seat, so we went across the street to the Chili's. And we owned that place.
Yeah, but the raccoon mayor was in the back making deals. Like, give me another enchilada and a raw fish.
It's still a very new restaurant, so it's still very busy. And our food just took so long that we just got to go. We're just like, you know what, just give it to us
to
go.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I mean, this took like a while.
Carlos, it was packed. Like,
I know, they got a busy place.
Saturday night, like 9:30, and I was like, man, I mean.
But they seem to Ryan, you seem to have this problem. People do not bring you your food quick enough.
I guess I have one of those
faces. Yeah, like, look at his face. Give him 2 hours.
But
they don't
but
care
on the way
you.
Out, I tripped holding my to-go boxes. And all the fajitas on the ground.
My God, man.
I know. That's
Gilligan.
Too.
You are Imagine Gilligan.
You fell. You were like, trivia party.
Yeah. So,
still promoting.
Still a nice dinner. We enjoyed our jalapeno margaritas.
Savannah, how about you? Did you do anything special for Easter?
I went to work.
Yeah.
I flew in from Jamaica on Saturday morning, and then I had to write a bunch of reports when I was in South Florida. Then
Jamaica
I drove four hours back to Orlando.
Yeah.
Took a shower, ate a cheeseburger, went to bed, and went to work yesterday morning.
And were there a lot of people at
Gatorland
on Easter?
Oh, my gosh, it's the busiest time.
On Easter?
I think there were like 4,000 people.
Damn.
In the park. Like, they were just driving around for like an hour trying to find a place to park. Like, that's how busy it is.
Nah.
It was out
There's
of control.
School today, right?
Yeah.
So kids are going back to school. Because I'm curious how many people took the day off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Easter. I know that a lot of people took Friday off.
In my calendar, it said Easter Monday.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, that seems to me like it should be a holiday.
I didn't know if you guys were going to be here. I texted last night to find out if you guys were going to be here because I didn't want to drive in if you guys weren't going to be on the show.
And they're doing the Easter egg roll today in Washington, D.C. So they're like a whole lot of...
why the day after Easter?
I don't know. I don't know why
because,
the day
he was in Mar-a-Lago for a little bit. And no, but
that's what, they do that every year, though. Every year,
every
it's,
little, yeah,
it's
exactly.
a Monday.
No collusion. No collusion. No collusion. Have fun, kids. No collusion.
It's an egg you open up. Here it you says go. No collusion.
Some candy in here.
Russian candies.
It's just an egg with a tinier egg and a tinier egg.
That's a Russian Easter egg nesting.
But no, for whatever reason, they always do it the day afterwards. But I'm pretty sure all the banks and stuff are open. Because if they were going to close, it would have been on Good Friday.
Yeah, it's not a federal holiday.
Is it not Good Monday?
I don't think it's good
it's
Monday.
It's always a good Monday when you hear Savannah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back.
Me too. I missed you guys so much. I really, really did.
Say, for this week, by the way, it's supposed to get hotter. By today, it's up in the high 80s.
Cold this morning.
I love this weekend.
Why was it cold this
weekend?
We
had a cold front over the weekend.
I feel like it's been colder, though, this year. I mean, obviously, every year is different. But,
it's been lingering longer.
Yeah, it's been lingering a little bit
longer.
Linger longer.
On Friday night, of course, all week last week, we didn't have any rain except for Friday. And Friday, I went to a wedding of a really good friend of mine. Her name is Maggie, and her now husband George were getting married at the place. This place that's an outside place, and it said, what time's the wedding start? 7 o'clock. I'm like, okay, so we're trying to get there. It's about 5 till 7 when we pull in, and they weren't kidding. They started at 7.
Yeah.
But everyone was sitting in their seats, and it was pouring raining. People had their umbrellas.
That weather on Friday night was insane for 2 hours.
It was
tornado warnings, and I mean, I was supposed to be downtown, and they moved me inside.
Yeah, they canceled the fan fest for the Magic. Yeah. I think that's why they lost.
But I'm watching, there must have been 50 people sitting in their chairs with their umbrellas. We did not have an umbrella, but we went and sat down, and we're getting rained on, and I'm like, man, these people love her. I mean, to show up at the wedding and to be there
in the
rain.
Have a plan B?
They did.
Usually you go inside the lobby, you set something up.
No, Maggie did have a plan B, but she said, you know what? We're getting married outside. This was my dream to get married outside. I'm getting married outside. I don't give a damn. And as soon as she walked out, the rain stopped.
Good.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Yeah, a bunch of flights got canceled back into MIA, right?
Yeah.
So, I got an alert on my phone. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. We're flying today.
My flight's got to come. My flight's got to go.
You wanted a cheeseburger, right?
Yeah, I needed a cheeseburger. I needed some red meat. That's true.
Okay, so you said the big thing was when you got back to take a shower. What is your Jamaican shower situation? Like, how did you
rainwater?
Clean? Describe it. Like, what is?
Is it really clean rainwater?
Like, no, because I know they do that big tank on the ceilings, right? So, like, how much time do you have to shower?
Well, you turn the water on and you wet, and then you turn it off because you don't want to use up all the water.
Is it an outside shower?
No, it was inside. Mm. And then you soap up everywhere, do whatever, bits and pits.
I picture the same
bits and pits.
Oh, my God.
And then you turn it back on and you rinse off, and then you turn it back off.
All right.
Yep, field shower.
Just like Richard Branson's outside shower in his home on his
I've
island.
Seen that.
Exactly
yeah.
like
I bet
that.
You
yeah.
It's exactly like that.
You never heard bits and pits?
I've never heard bits and pits.
No, but I heard more nips than.
In about 15 minutes, you're going to get a chance to win $1,000. So keep listening right here on Real Radio 104.1. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Dude, it's like a club. I was just showing the guys.
Club Rollins.
If you look, one of the things that, I bought this new house, and it was a fixer-upper, right? And had an electrician come over and do all this accent lighting. And I put it on the website at monsters.fm if you want to check it out. But, what it's got, that's a Kiss painting, right? And behind it, the colors, like Paul... Peter, Gene, and Ace, they all have this particular color. So it goes through like blue and purple, green and red for each
member. Like the Power Rangers.
For each member of the band. And it turned out really cool, man. The guy that did the lighting, his name is Nick, and he's a great. But we're doing like, I did lighting on the beer steins that I had for my dad, on all the paintings and stuff in the house. And that little bit of accent lighting thing is it's kind of cool, man. The house is now starting to kind of be like our own thing.
Come together, right?
Oh, yeah. Coming together, great. So that was a lot of... Oh, and then I got something else. I talked about this the other day, and that was when I went out to Groupon or whatever, and they had a special. And a special, you know, there was a $500 Roomba, but you get it for $225, right? I'm like, okay, I've always kind of thought about a Roomba, but I'll check it out. So it came on Friday. I'm going to tell you what, man. I love that thing. You know what? I follow it around the house. I'm like, look what it's doing. And Mary Ellen's like,
it's flirted.
And she's like, you're supposed to just let it do its thing, right? You're not supposed to follow it around the house. But I like to, I like to follow it to see what it's doing. And
but it's not going to do anything different. It's just going to clean.
I think it follows me. Like I'll go to the back.
It's
of the
not
house.
A puppy.
I think it's imprinted on me and it's following me because I went to the back of the house and looked at it. I'm like, look at it, it's still working. And then I came into the bedroom. Next thing I know, it followed me into the bedroom.
Well, it is a robot. It is sentient, and they're telling you it's not. But I know it's following you around, and I know it's filled with a tiny knife to cut your ankle.
What's following you?
I got a Roomba, one of those little vacuum cleaners that run around the house all the time. And I always thought they were kind of silly. I'm like, I can vacuum myself. I don't need a Roomba. But I got it because I got it on a big discount, and I'm like, what the hell? I'll give it a shot. And
$20 million.
$50 million. Normally it's $500. I got it for $225, and I'm like, it's a vacuum cleaner. Let's see what it does.
Right.
It is. It puts itself back on the little. I mean, everyone who has one, you guys already know. But for me, I just got to experience.
It's rich like me.
No, I got a discount. But it puts itself back on its charging station. You know, it charges itself up.
Does it follow you because you're a dirt foot?
I don't got dirty feet. You know, I wear socks in the house.
Isn't it round though? So how does it clean in the corners?
It's got a little brush that
comes out with a knife.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's got a knife in there.
No, that's what's great about it. It gets the corners really good because that little brush goes right to the corner.
It spins around in the corner.
I love that thing.
I have a question about the show. Someone messaged me and said, the day you go back on the show, you need to ask Russ about the snake eggs that he killed.
Oh, I did not kill them. What I did was, I buried them.
Buried them?
In the ground.
How were they not in the ground already?
They were on top of the ground. Are snake eggs usually just sitting
were
on top of the ground?
Were they soft or crunchy?
I didn't touch the eggs themselves.
Then how did you bury them?
Just took a shovel and put dirt over them.
Okay. I just was going to ask you about it because I didn't know what you were doing with the snake egg. Anything reptile, I'm going to find out if you guys talk about it.
That's fine. His goal was to kill the snake egg.
No. It wasn't in my heart to kill the eggs. So I just buried them. And then I saw the snake, and the snake was going around in circles. And I'm like, look, I'm sorry, snake. They're under the ground. I'm sitting there talking to the snake. And then it got up into my shrubs, and it's living there now. And me and him have a thing.
Let it live there, because that means there's rats around. Snake wouldn't be there if there weren't rats to eat.
Really?
Yep.
Well, yeah, so.
Watch out for the rats.
You got rats at your house. That's why Roomba's following you around. You're like the Pied Piper.
So, Carlos, you have a Roomba, right?
Yeah.
You have one. And then, Angel, do you have one?
No.
And you don't have one, do you?
I would never.
I have a broom.
You have a broom. Yeah. See, that's the way I felt, Savannah. I'm like, I got my... my other vacuum cleaner, what are they?
Dyson.
The Dyson. Dyson. I feel like it's cheating on the Dyson to have another vacuum cleaner in the house. But I'm like, what the hell? I'll give this thing a shot. And just this morning before I left, I'm like, can I turn the Roomba on? And she's like, I don't care. Turn it on. So now I'm turning them on all the time.
How long have you had it?
I had it since Friday.
Did you paint a face on it yet?
How'd you know?
I know you too well.
I was going to paint a little face on it. I'm going to call her Rosie.
Put a little googly eyes on it.
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. That's how the robots trick you.
It'll look crazy rolling around with googly eyes.
And it just maps your entire house so it knows where everything is, right?
And uploads it and sends it to Google and
Amazon.
That's
why when the Terminators come, they know where everything is.
Yeah, they know where you're hiding.
It's an amazing thing. And the price difference, it goes from like $200 all the way up to
$1,800. Oh, that one, that'll like mop your floors as well.
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah. There's one. I think the one we have is actually does both. It can
Oh, you got the big one.
I don't know. To be honest, I just know it cleans and she turns it on and it's cool. But we like I like the Dyson though. I like to get in with the other Dyson. We have a dog that tracks in a bunch of dirt, so
yeah.
It is a nice little thing to have a little robot running around.
Can it change itself?
Yeah. What do you mean? Like batteries?
Like well, it fills up with dirt, right?
Yeah.
So you have to pick up the robot and change it?
No, you pull out the tray, dump it out.
Now, they have one, though, that's real expensive, but they have one that will go in the docking station, and then there's another vacuum that sucks everything out of that and puts it in a big container.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that's like the $1,800 one. But this one...
I just have a broom.
But after it did one, I don't know what you call it, round, all right, like for 45 minutes, it's going all around the house, right? So I went and cleaned it out. I could not believe all the stuff it picked up.
See, toenails.
No. The dogs have hair, you know? So I like to get all that hair up as much as possible. And
you clip your toenails and feed them to Rosie.
No, I do not. It's disgusting.
Rosie, little snacks for you, robot.
That's disgusting.
Little robot treats.
Onions.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, now you're going to start leaving crumbs all over the place just so it has something to do.
Yeah, a little Hansel and Gretel situation.
I was actually behind it with my Dyson. Like, oh, you missed that.
That's weird.
And Mary Ellen was like, are you competing with the robot? I'm like, I just want to make sure we get as much possible.
Rosie, eat my bunions.
Oh no!
Rosie, get this planter's wart.
Planter's wart.
Too early.
I'm sure I'll get bored with it, in a week or so. But right now, I'm enamored with the Roomba because it's a lot of fun to watch it go around the house. You know,
is it fun? Is that what fun is now?
It is fun for me, man.
I can understand if you didn't have a TV,
right?
Like, but I'm sure you have one in every room, right?
Yeah, TV's on.
Do you have a TV in your bathroom?
I do not.
Oh, you got to upgrade.
No, but I have a speaker in the bathroom so I can hear the news, cause when I get up in the morning.
Drowns out the...
Oh, it's just a speaker. Oh, it's Rosie. Rosie's got It's kickback Rosie. Sorry, honey. Morning poop.
That's why I like being on the way other side of the house, way on the other side of the house.
You go to the other side of the house to poop?
Yeah, I got that my bathroom and my bedroom all on the other side of the house. I gave her the master big one.
Wait, she lives on the other side of the house than you?
Huh?
She lives on the other side of the house?
No.
He does his bodily functions on the other side of the house.
That's where her bathroom is, where she gets changed. Her closet, and mine's on the other side. Just keep it separate.
Oh, must be kicked back from her kiss lights.
Ooh. Would you want a robot lawnmower?
Yeah,
I'll get one.
I wouldn't mind one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like what Roomba?
A robot lawnmower.
There's a lawn service, so that's what they do. You pay them, and it's like $20, and then they literally drop a little lawnmower, and it cuts your entire yard.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was on Shark Tank or something.
Huh.
And then they got another one with a goat. You just pull it.
Actually, yeah, it's Husqvarna has one. It's the auto mower.
The auto mower?
Yeah, you literally just let her rip. It's a lawnmower Roomba, basically.
That's cool. $500. I feel like we're not at that technology level yet, and it's going to be full of errors. Like we do a lot of stuff. I've not seen a robot lawnmower.
They got one that's like $1,500. Damn.
I do have to question.
This is like a real thing.
I do have to question the Roomba and like how thorough it is, though, because it looks like it's missing a lot of spots to me. I'm like,
stop following me.
I know.
Please do not judge my work. I'm new here.
It's probably annoying that I'm following around.
There's a Roomba that's going to have a complex about it.
I feel like an explorer in Jurassic Park and a T-Rex is chasing me down.
I thought it would get stuck on like going to different level. Like if it's going from a regular floor to a carpet, I thought that it would get stuck, but that thing is tough. I mean, it'll get up on the carpet too, it'll go up on everything, like it doesn't get stuck.
The day it can climb stairs is the day I'm out.
Oh, they have some that can climb stairs.
Oh,
don't
do
they
really?
Yeah, I thought
Boston
they did.
Dynamics is working on one.
Yeah, it's gonna be a robot dog vacuum.
Yeah,
and, oh, I don't trust that at all.
Mm-hmm. Hey, your chance to win $1,000 is here. You listen for the keyword, it's coming up here in a second or two. You listen for the keyword, you text the keyword to 200-200, and you could win $1,000. We'll do trivia when we come back. So if you want to win some stuff, this is the time to do it. 407-916-1041 is the number to call. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From
it is possible to win. Just text that word you heard. Text it to 200-200. Wait for an answer or for a phone call about an hour afterwards. Make sure you answer that, and you very well could win. We've had five people win so far. We want you to be next, and you have to answer the phone, though, because if not, they'll just hang up, and they'll go to someone else in some other state. So we want to see you win. Good luck. Hey, Triple R segment at 7 brought to you by My Home Builders Network. .com. That's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. You got summertime coming here, right? And you're going to have rain probably every afternoon around 3 o'clock or so. And if you got leaks in your roof, man, you need to get that fixed. Myhomebuildersnetwork.com can help you fix those. He does roofs. He can patch a little area. He can fix an entire roof. He can work with your insurance claim and get it paid for. It's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. That's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. Mike can definitely help you out. Also, check out their new energy-efficient vinyl replacement windows for the summertime. Beat the summer heat. And he can help you with that as well. It's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. If you need a roof fixed, he can help you. He also helped me just recently with my home repairs and did tiling for me and stuff like that. But he specializes in roofing. It's myhomebuildersnetwork.com. Tell Mike, what's up? He's a good fella. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins along with Carlos and Savannah, Ryan yep. Holmes, and now Angel is going to tell you what prize we have in the prize pinata today.
The prize pinata is brought to you by Centel Family Moving and Storage. It's a family-owned and operated company. Whenever the monsters need to move, we have you, Centel Family Moving and Storage. It's family-owned and operated. Get your quick, instant moving quote online today at centelmoving.com. That is CENTOmoving.com. Up first, we have a pair of tickets to the Sunshine State Egg Fest 2019, April the 27th, at the Indian River County Fairgrounds Expo Center in Vero Beach.
It's this weekend, right?
That is. Yeah. Chefs from all over the country will be showing their skills on the ultimate cooking experience on the Big Green Egg. For tickets, go to sunshinestateeggfest.com. And we'll wrap it up with a pair of single-day tickets to Monster Jam World Finals are coming to Camping World Stadium on Friday, May the 10th, and Saturday, May the 11th. It's a two-day event. On Friday, May the 10th, never seen before, the trucks will be racing in from an elevated starting line of 50 feet in the air. It'll be epic.
This is nothing like you've ever seen before at Camping World Stadium.
This is even new for them.
This is new for them. These are the world championship. This is a really, really big deal. This is the first time they've moved it from Vegas to another area, and it's right here in Orlando. So it's a big deal.
Because Orlando shows up.
That's it.
Because Florida represents Monster Truck.
Get your tickets at MonsterJam.com, and those are the prizes today.
That's right. We represent Monster Truck.
Let's do it, man. Orlando.
Right.
We got Easter Bunny's fighting downtown. We got Monster Jam finals coming to Orlando. We got the Magic losing their ass. Hey, love it.
You're cutting a promo like you're Hulk Hogan. Yeah. I like it. Let's go to Kathy. Kathy from Winter Haven. You're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Kathy?
What's up, guys?
Hey. Did you have a good Easter?
Yes.
You did.
And
good.
Thanks,
Savannah. Hey, thanks, babe.
Hey, so if you win, what prize you want to take? You want to go to the Monster Jam?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, here we go. Here's your question. If you get it right, take whatever prize you want. If you don't get it right, you do have several monsters that can help you, like Angel or Carlos, Savannah or Ryan Holmes. So good luck to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. This is a new survey. Taking into account the average pay, projected growth, and the overall job stress, what has been named in this new study the worst job in America? So what do you think has been named the worst job in America? And they take into account average pay, the projected growth in that particular job, and the overall stress of the job. What's the worst job in America?
Fast food.
Fast food, not in the top 10. Who do you want to help you? You've got Angel, you've got Carlos, Savannah, or Ryan Holmes?
I got to go with my boy Angel.
Angel!
Damn, I knew this one,
according
too.
To a new study, and they take into account the projected growth in the job, the average pay, the overall job stress. What is considered the worst job in America?
Teachers.
Teacher, not a bad guess. Let me see here. I don't see it in the top 10. No, I'm sorry.
Good.
Not in the top 10. 407-916-1041 or toll free. It's 1-888-978-1041. Let's go to Tim from the APK. What's up, Tim?
APK. Hanging out, man, as always.
Hey, what do you think is considered the worst job in America?
Working retail.
Retail. That is in fourth place. So you got on the board, but it's not the number one answer. It's
Thank
in fourth.
God, robots are coming soon to alleviate all of those retail jobs.
Who do you want to help you? You've got...
People want jobs.
You got Yay! Savannah, Carlos, or Ryan Holmes?
Let's do Carlos.
All right.
Yeah, let's do me. Do
yeah, do me, baby. All over. Do me, baby.
Worst job in America, Carlos. In fourth place was retail salesperson.
Okay, what was third place? Just for the audience.
No, you can't do
it's
that.
It's for the audience,
That's
Ryan Holmes. Booger Beard. No. People are wondering what number three is.
No,
I'm not asking for number
one. Number three
one.
Is fart sniffer.
Damn, you took my joke!
Oh.
Damn, I was just going to forget
about it
now.
I didn't know you were going to do it.
Yeah, I was going to use it. It was good.
Oh, thanks.
Russ is a fart sniffer.
It is not fart sniffer. No.
All right, here's ready for the worst job. How about...
Hey, I got an idea.
Let's talk. Let's chat. What is it?
Man, I'm trying to think like drivers, you know, like maybe cab drivers Googled or taxi it. Drivers.
Yeah.
You know
Google.
What? I like the cut of your jib. I'm gonna go with fart sniffing driver. It's driver, Russ. It's taxi driver.
What do you drive, Tim?
I drive trucks. I drive a semi.
Yeah. So is your guess? What is your guess then?
Well, I mean, driving semi isn't that bad, but I'm thinking maybe cab driver.
Okay. You got it. It's taxi driver. Let me put you on hold.
Eastbound down.
That's what you get. That's what you get for doing me.
He had a chance to look it up, but okay.
Yep. Good for him.
Yeah, that's number one. This is out everywhere today, so I figured maybe someone might have seen it. I saw it on the news this morning. Yeah, they're saying that that's the worst job in America now is taxi driver because, you know...
does that include, like, the...
Uber?
Uber and Lyft?
It does not.
So this is straight up yellow cab?
Yeah, if you're a taxi driver, they say your times are tough for you because Uber and Lyft has made it tougher.
Well, yeah, they had to buy their cars, right? Like in New York, they buy the car and the license, and it costs them like $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
They're not making that back. You used to be able to live like a nice, like upper middle class life as a taxi driver.
Things change, man. Things change, and a lot of them don't want to evolve, and you got to evolve, and then pretty soon they're ride sharing. All the people that are enjoying ride sharing; those will be autonomous.
Boy,
so all those things evolve.
If you ever do get into an actual taxi now, and a lot of times I'm taking Lyft, but when I went to the what did I do last time? Oh, I went to the Kiss concert. And when I went to the Kiss concert, you know, when you're trying to get everybody to, you're on your Lyft or your Uber trying to get them to show up. It everyone else was trying to get it too, so it was very difficult. I'm like, well, there's a taxi sitting right there. I'll go ahead and get it with this guy. And
they're
crying. Those guys hate Lyft and Uber. But it was like double the price, but I was willing to pay it because I just wanted to get back.
Well, yeah. I was after the Magic game. I drove, and so my daughter and I were kind of passing by the ride-sharing area.
Yeah.
And that is insane. I mean, hundreds of people on this tiny strip on side. When it's like, couldn't you just like be like, hey, we're going to walk three blocks that way, and then they'll pick us up over here.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the way of the world. I mean, it is. It's how people get around these days.
That's what, when I saw that, I could see maybe in the future where, you know, as you go to get into your tax or your Uber or your Lyft, your name, like it says Russ Rollins.
Absolutely.
You know, or
oh, well,
Carlos
they have
Navarro.
Lights now for that.
Do
so
they?
You're if you're looking at your Uber, you'll see the one and you can pick which color light you want and they put it in the dashboard. So if you're a good driver and you've been with Uber for a long time, you get that option. But if you're new, I don't think you get that option.
But the name thing is also a security thing. With the last couple of stories that we've had and, you know, those rideshare services and everything, they're trying to incorporate these new technologies. And it will, you know, like you're saying, Russ, it'll have your name right up there. And then it's going to be color-coded on your phone and on the car. That way you can kind of identify.
Because at a super busy event like the end of the Magic game or the end of the Kiss concert or whatever you're at, and you're just sitting there waiting. Like,
mayhem.
Everybody's trying to, and they're like, that's my... is that my Uber? Is that my Lyft? And so that's why I just jumped into a taxi cab. And then we start talking to the taxi driver about ride sharing, and oh,
I bet he loves talking about it.
Oh, he's, they hate him. They like, you know, it's, yeah. It's like, been a taxi driver my entire life. It's killing me. Number two on the list for the worst jobs in America.
Lawyer?
No, it's always up here too. Which is, I don't know if I've even
is
met.
It fart sniffer,
a Sherpa,
a logger. If you're a logger, that's the second worst.
Wait, taxi drivers over logger?
Yeah, logger.
Yeah, at least like, if you're a logger, you're badass out in the middle of a forest, you're chopping down stuff. Yeah, you get crushed by a timber, whoop! Your badass.
Yeah, their job's being automated in a way, too.
Worst job in America, number three, is a newspaper reporter.
Because why?
Because newspapers are going the way, the way of the bye-bye. You know?
Yeah, well, a lot of publications are, yeah.
Yeah, so there's not a whole lot of
room for... I mean, but if you're a reporter, you're a reporter. If you're writing stories, you can write stories for the online version or the actual paper.
Yeah, I just think there's not a whole lot of room for growth, you know? I think that's part of the problem, because it's based on the pay, the growth, and the stress.
It's a shame, though, because that's where we get so much information from, like, newspapers who have the funding, who actually send people out, who actually verify.
Hey, and they actually, that's the key. They actually verify what they're saying, as opposed to the news you watch on TV, where they just say whatever they want.
But essentially, I think... all newspapers are owned by like three companies now.
Yeah. Right.
So, it kind of should go. I mean, newspaper is such an old, antiquated technology.
How
I mean, like,
make
you
a
can't,
sailboat.
We do need reporters and news as a service, but as soon as you can just get everything on a tablet and everything's good, it needs to go that way because you're just essentially just wasting paper at this point.
Yeah.
So, number four is retail salesperson. These are the worst jobs in America.
These are literally. If you ever read Andrew Yang's book, it breaks down exactly where autonomy and robots are going to take over. And these are the jobs, man. And I know people are like, don't scare me, Carlos. But we're listing the worst jobs where these people, I'm sure, want to be doing something else. They want to be teachers. They want to be therapists. They want to help people. They
but
want
if
to
you're
be
in retail. You're not really anywhere you can go.
And then number five on the list is I believe will be autonomous one day, and that is military personnel. I mean, you can see that coming. With
Boston Dynamics probably got a sweet level floor in the military department. With the stuff they're doing.
How is military personnel the worst?
Says here the study admits that it's tough to put serving your country on the worst jobs list, but the pay is low and the stress is very high. That's the reason why it's number five.
And it's, I think, 1%, if that, of our actual population. I mean, soldiers are forgotten about still. Yeah, we can put our little, yellow ribbon, we can do all that stuff, but majority of people don't even know anybody actively serving.
All right, there are five more of the worst jobs. We'll see if it's your job when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Are you curious if your job is one of the the top 10 worst in America? Well, we're going to let you know here in a minute or two. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings, Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. We're also live on our YouTube channel. We chat with people during the break, and Ryan Holmes has been running that. How's it going over there? Are we up to closer to 13,000 subscribers?
Getting closer, and if you want to join us, become a subscriber. Hang out with us in the YouTube chat room all morning long. We talk to you, we hang out, we become best friends. That's YouTube. Just click through Monsters.fm.
Let me go see what's going on in the YouTube right now.
Hey, and let me say this. Go to Monsters.fm and find all the stuff that Savannah does. Because Savannah does a lot. What?
I'm shushing my phone. I wasn't talking to you.
Oh, okay.
It might have been confusing.
You think? I was saying that people should follow you because you do a lot of really cool stuff.
Hey, thanks.
Gators and crocodiles. If she was away in Jamaica, you could follow that. But check it out. If you go to monsters.fm, you can see all that stuff. Also, there's a new podcast that Carlos is doing to the top podcast. You had your first one on Friday?
Yeah, no, it was on Thursday. And it's brand new. It's everything that you kind of hear here, but a little bit more longer version. And the first one is on, just type in the iHeartRadio app, type in To the Top with Carlos. Boom, it's all connected. And I'm very excited about it. Really cool
thing.
And
this Thursday, I'm the guest on the show. I'm the guest on the show.
First guest ever, and very excited about it. The staff at the...
Don't get crazy.
Oh, no. No, but it's Bikini Thursday, though.
Don't get crazy.
Well, I'll be in a bikini. You got to be in a bikini. Gator teeny.
Is it you and your wife every time? She was the first guest.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of explaining how we started with To the Top and why we even thought of that kind of saying. And so, and then we're still doing Megalos, and then she will be a part of it for sure, thankfully. But a lot of them will be just me, and then some will be with guests. It's going to be awesome, man. Really excited about it.
And all that, you can find it all by going to monsters.fm, and they've got springboards and everything that we're doing. So, the top five thing. Okay, this was the worst jobs in America. The worst job in America, according to this study, and what they did was they said, okay, by the growth of pay, by your amount of advancement you can do, or also the stress, that's how they judged it. Number one, worst job in America is a taxi driver. Number two is a logger. Number three is a newspaper reporter. Number four, retail sales. And number five was enlisted military personnel. Number six, I only know one of these guys, and I'm curious of how he's doing. But the number six is correctional officer. And Tony Black. Tony Black, who's a comedian that we met through the Monster Comic of the Year competition. Super nice guy. But the only guy I know who's a correctional officer. And I can imagine that's not a great job to have.
No, you go to jail every day.
Yeah.
Even when you're protecting the jail, you're still in jail.
And you're dealing with the worst people,
around. They're all innocent. If you ask them.
Or the reverse, man, that you see every day, that most of those people there are drug offenders or addicts, or, the majority of people in jail are addicts. I mean, that's we lock up our addicts here in this country. And I think you also, Tony Black, I've talked to him about it. He's like, man, these people, of course people make mistakes. Of course they're real criminals. But, man, going to jail, going to work every day and locking up people that you're like, no, this dude is not that. I don't know. I think it's got to have some morality issues as well.
So how is he doing? Like, last we heard, he was ill. Have you talked to Tony Black in a while?
I haven't talked to him in a minute. I saw he's got a show coming up, I think, at the Improv.
And cool.
I think he's still trying to raise money for his medical bills because he has cancer.
Oh, okay. Right.
So, yeah, that's probably slowed him down a little bit. But that is one happy dude for one upsetting job. I'll tell you that. I don't know how. You would never know talking to Tony that's what he does unless he brings it up.
That probably helps him get through it, the fact that he does have a positive outlook. He's got a good personality. Yeah. That helps him, And I'm sure there's a little bit of the fact that, you want the prisoners in there to like you, so they're not going to...
Throw their feces at you?
Yeah, so they'll listen to you and all that kind of stuff.
Because that'd be annoying.
Now, number seven and number eight are kind of the same thing or in the same area, I think. Once again, I did not make this list up. This comes from the Wall Street Journal. These are the top 10 worst jobs in America. Number seven is DJ, and number eight is broadcaster. So I guess the stress part of it, if you're a DJ, if you're a broadcaster.
Is there stress being a DJ, Angel?
Well, there's the stress of the ratings. I mean, your management is always worried about the ratings. I mean, that's
I think, inherently part of the job. I think what's a bigger detriment to being a quote-unquote radio disc jockey is the fact that everyone's listening to their playlists. Our company, for example, Hard Rock Station or the Pop Station, they're locked into the same 50 songs, maybe sometimes 60 songs. And it doesn't matter if it's XL here in Orlando or XL in New York or XL in Los Angeles, that's all the same songs. There used to be a time where you could kind of tell what part of the country you were in by the way the radio played and by the personality of the jocks.
Because the DJ, the jock, he used to be able to pick what he thought
they were your tastemakers.
Oh, they don't pick the songs?
No.
No.
No, DJs don't
pick
right
now. The only person that gets to pick their songs is when Angel does
WTF
is Angel listening to.
That's true, but the way it used to be, the DJ would pick the songs, and that, you know, that's how he got ratings, if he picked cool songs.
Hey, DJ,
and
just
that all
play
changed.
That song,
why
dancing?
Would that change though? Because to homogenize an entire
analytics.
Country.
Money, that's why it changed.
And they proved that people like to listen to about the same seven songs. They wouldn't do it if it didn't work. Like, yeah. And there's a reason there are shows like Angel, very few. But also, there's Ryan Seacrest in this world, where you're all of a sudden, you're a pop DJ in Missouri, and next thing you know, Ryan Seacrest takes over your job. All well and good. Hey, he's an iHeart guy, and that's all good, but your job can be replicated.
Hey, question. We were talking about this weekend,
not
and about the progression of everything, and everything's changing in the world or whatever. Do you think we will see a day where you will not... You will not be asked to sit through advertising, whether it's on television and watching commercials or whether it's on radio. And because, you know, there are some, you know, some people just listen to their playlist, and one of their reasons is I don't want to hear commercials. And the same thing with television. You know, some people are watching Netflix because they don't want to see commercials. Do you think there ever be a day where we'll sit back and we'll go, listen, when we were kids, there used to be commercials during the day on the radio to tell people to go to places that have businesses. Do you think that day will ever come, or do you think commercials?
I don't think so.
I think
commercials will always be around.
I mean, because they're even on YouTube. Their Instagram has commercials now. You can buy commercials there. Like, there's always going to be commercials because people always need to sell something.
Well, commercials pay the bills here, and I totally understand it.
Yeah. It's just going to change. The industry is evolving as we speak. Then what they're going to do is they're going to do targeting. They're going to do. You're going to have commercials that specifically talk to you. Whether it's because of eyewear that you're wearing, and a little screen pops up, or you're walking around town and different billboards see you. They register you, and it's talking just to you. You're the only one that sees that. That's the evolution of it. But as a time or a day when there's zero commercials,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a feasible in the sense of, because that's a whole industry.
I'm kind of, right. I live kind of like that now. I got pay a little extra. It's called a paywall. Mm-hmm. And when you do the paywall, Netflix really is the one that they'll look back and go, oh, it did work, where we've never seen a commercial on Netflix. Now we've seen product placement in some of those shows, and that's what a lot of podcasts are now. I pay a couple different services for no commercials, but within their segment, it'll start with a sponsor, in the middle will be a sponsor, and right. Then the end will be a sponsor. So it's just evolving.
So do you think there'll be a day where commercials will be a thing of the past?
No. Yeah, it'll be one way or the other.
It'll get worse. That's my big fear about like augmented reality and having like the glasses that you can see. Because then there'll be just digital ads for you, personalized.
I'm cool with that, though. Aren't you like Blade Runner style, where you look up and like you look at the buildings and there's just like all this stuff? It's just a bigger version of pop-up ads that I already don't pay attention to.
Well, interesting enough, like I said, 7th place and 8th place. DJ, these are for the worst jobs in America. DJ was in 7th, a broadcaster in 8th. In 9th place, advertising salesperson.
Yeah.
Which all three of those really kind of go together. You know,
that's what I'm saying. That industry is going to get even more cutthroat, you know?
Yeah.
It's just all gone digital. Yeah. I mean, it's just all continually going digital online and different platforms. So in the old sense, terrestrial radio, yeah. I would, yeah.
And in 10th place, these are our worst jobs in America, is a painter. I get
like an artist or a house painter.
Just as painter, I thought house painter. I didn't think of artist.
Well, you know, that's. I mean, I'm not a painter, but that's a damn good job to have in this new world, man. Painters, welders, plumbers, landscapers. These are stuff. Robots, automation, autonomy is going to take a long time before they figure out how to paint a wall in somebody's house the right way. We're going back to when somebody could have a craft and have an apprenticeship. And really become a master at something. You know, we got a ton of guys and girls listening to this show right now that they have focused on one craft in their whole life. And then all this digital stuff started popping up and they're like, oh my God, should I be doing this? No, good for you if you're an electrician. Good for you if you're a welder. Good for you if you're a landscaper and you have that craft, because that's not going anywhere for a while, especially a good painter. It's hard to find a good painter.
Yeah, well, it is.
You know?
Yeah. I knew a guy who was a painter. That's all he did. And then when the market crash happened and they stopped building, he's like sitting there waiting for jobs. And it was very, very tough on him.
Does everyone need a side hustle now? Is that where we're heading? Like, everybody has to do three things? Because like in entertainment, I've always had to do like three or four different things at the same time. But it seems to be getting to the point where like you're a painter, but the market might crash. So what's your other thing?
Yeah. I don't know anybody who has just one gig, like unless they're just a really wealthy business owner or lawyer or somebody like that that has more of a job, a more classic kind of job, I guess. Mm. But everybody else I know has two or three gigs.
It's just unfortunate because like we do this gig economy now, which is where you just kind of pick up for whatever. And they have it for like handyman and Uber and everything. But the unfortunate thing for Uber is like, yeah, you're making money right now, but you're also contributing to the system that's going to get rid of you.
Yeah.
100%. So like if you're relying on that, find something else.
Here, when I used to work for O-Rock, we had to we had to learn the system that was going to replace us while we were there.
Oh, really?
Right?
Oh.
Yeah, so there would be no more people in the thing. So we had to learn how to program it so that we wouldn't have to be there anymore before that station flipped formats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insane. A lot of people are dealing with that with their
and
jobs.
And as we're learning it, I'm like, yeah, I'm not a fan. Like, why am I learning how to replace myself? Like, why am I teaching this machine how to replace me?
Well, because that's what you have to do.
I don't really have to do that.
Are you good at painting, Savannah?
Painting?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Painting
I'm good
a wall?
I'm good at pretty much everything. I mean, let's just be real.
You know what's bad with me? I just tried to paint not too long ago, and I don't have the patience for the corners. I go way too fast.
Oh, you mean you're painting house?
Yeah, painting a house, like walls and stuff. I don't have the patience for the corners.
Really? Because you're a nerd. I thought you would like that.
I messed that up.
I thought you were like a corner guy.
No.
Do you have the right tools?
I even have the right tools. I just messed it up.
How did you mess it up?
I was trying to go too fast. I don't know.
Well,
but painting is a skill.
You don't need a speed paint.
I know.
You just relax. When you do hot dog farm paintings, stuff like that. You just got to relax and be in it.
You're right. I haven't drawn wieners in a long time.
I got to learn to slow down. Yeah. All right, listen, when we come back, it's time for Angel to bring you Monster Sports. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Real Radio Sports. Soccer. Orlando City takes over Yankee Stadium to face New York City FC this Saturday, April 27th. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9, The Game.
Starting your morning off right with the Monster in the Morning. Real Radio 104.1. You want to stick it here all day today? Right through the News Junkie, the Jim Colbert Show, Tom and Dan, and Real Laughs with Monster Comics. All day long right here on Real Radio 104.1. Your chance to win $1,000. So don't miss it. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins along with Carlos and Savannah, Ryan Holmes, and now Angel's going to bring you Monster Sports.
Woohoo!
Stick it here
all day long.
Monster Sports is brought to you by Monster Jam. Make sure you get your Monster Jam tickets there at MonsterJam.com. We got the World Championships happening here. It's a two-day event. There is a awards dinner on that Thursday that we're a part of.
Oh, we are?
Yes, sir. We're actually, looks like we might be one of the presenters.
Oh, really?
Yes. We'll be up on stage.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So all these things are being worked out. And then we got a live broadcast happening real soon from Camping World Stadium.
We are?
Yeah, we are. That's us.
Okay.
Well, you approved all this stuff.
Did I? Okay.
Yes.
You know me, I forget stuff. It was like last year, right?
I'm beginning to get confused. Are we?
Did we?
Yes.
So we'll do live? Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, it'll be fun.
We sat down a few weeks ago.
Did we?
Yeah, we're going to be in Camping World.
Was I there?
Yes.
Okay, just
and we're going to get to hang out. We're going to get to do the Gravedigger, the one they do the rides in.
All right.
We're gonna have access to that truck.
Oh, cool!
What?
Yeah. So during the broadcast.
Oh hell!
Yeah. So it's gonna be hot by popping.
I'm excited now.
Little interesting tidbit on this day in 1998. This was the cover of ESPN magazine. It was the debate. This because well we got the NFL draft right around the corner in a few weeks.
Oh, actually, the first is Thursday, I believe.
Is it this Thursday?
Wednesday or Thursday?
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I know it's coming up.
Wednesday or Thursday? Maybe Thursday.
I think you're right. It might be Thursday.
Yeah.
But this was a huge, and I remember this, and this is what's striking about this cover. It was a big cover and it's a big story.
Yeah.
And it's who to take number one. Do you guys remember who was going into the league in 1998 as draft picks?
Tom Brady.
No. But one of the contemporary of his, yeah.
In 98.
98.
Was it Tim Leaf?
It was Leaf.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf or...
Ryan Leaf, yeah.
Yeah, or Manning.
Yeah, Peyton.
It was Peyton and Ryan Leaf. These were
the there was always both of them. Who was better? Yeah.
Right, and this was the cover of the ESPN the magazine.
I don't even remember Ryan Leaf.
So Manning went on to do 71,000 yards, 579 TDs, 5 league MVPs, 2 Super Bowl titles.
Yeah.
Ryan Leaf threw for 3,666 yards, 14 TDs, and 4 total wins.
Oh wow!
Just two different paths in their lives.
And Ryan Leaf is arguably the greatest bust in sports history.
He's in that
and
top five.
He's definitely in top five. The most interesting thing about him is he was arrested. He was on, I believe, on drugs. He went through the lowest of the low from being the top draft pick. And now he's a motivational speaker. And his story is amazing. His 30 for 30 is one of the best. I highly suggest you find out about Ryan Leaf, especially if you're down in the dumps right now. Once again, redemption can be acquired by anybody.
Hey, when you're talking about, you said one of the biggest busts. I mean, even though I love him, would you consider Tim Tebow was kind of a bust, right? Because
bust is higher up.
Yeah,
there.
He's got a playoff victory. You know what I mean?
He wasn't a top pick.
And he was. No. Yeah, he was like a. Yeah. He wasn't a number one draft pick.
But he did win the Heisman.
Yeah, but a bust is like they pick him number one top 10. You kind of would talk about draft bust. Anything under that, it's like you got a deal.
What round did Tebow go in? It was late, right?
Late.
Yeah.
Little audio for you guys. I love this time of year. It's baseball and just the fascinating things that happen. See if you can pick up on this because this is probably going to go down in history as one of the greatest plays ever.
All right.
Mariano's now going back. He's still going back. He's near the wall and it is. He caught it. He caught it. He fires it back in. Now Hundley grabs it, the throw to second base, and maybe the greatest double play you've ever seen.
So basically, he prevents a home run. He overthrows the first base. The runner's been sent back to first base.
Uh-huh.
He overthrows the first baseman. Ball ends up almost in the dugout. The guy grabs it from the dugout and fires it into second base. It gets the double play that way.
Wow. Oh my
it's
gosh.
Completely ridiculous.
Hey, okay, so I'm going to extend an invitation to everybody, whoever wants to do it. I talked to Ryan a little bit this morning. Angel, we talked about this. If you want to join us, you're more than welcome. On May the 8th, there's a Tampa Bay Rays game. It starts at 1. If we leave the show at 11...
Oh, we can do that.
I mean, and I'll drive. I don't mind driving. If we leave the show at 11, we can be there by 1 to watch a little bit of baseball, have a hot dog, drink some beer or whatever, and check out a race.
I'm in. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, May the 8th.
May the 8th. I'll definitely put that in.
I would love to, but I can't.
Yeah, well, I figured you had Gatorland, but you're invited. You know, I'm extending the invitation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
But, I think that it's fun. I've gone to a game the past couple of years, and it's fun just to go and kind of watch one and check it out. And so...
All right, so we're going to venture down this road now, and it hurts my heart. Mm. All right, so the Orlando Magic, we had 2 home games in the playoffs. So we haven't been in the playoffs in quite some time. First, we'll hit up the Friday night game, which was amazing, even though we did lose. But a shout-out to the 19,200 people that showed up in attendance. That's the highest attendance they've had for a playoff game. They set a new attendance record.
Really?
Yes, and that was a game that was very, very attainable. We were in the mix. We should have possibly won that game, I think. Just a torrid comeback at the end. Ended up running out of time, but we do drop that game 116-108 on Friday.
So that's Friday night.
I'm sorry.
That's Friday night, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Carlos, you got to go Friday night.
Yeah, I did. I went with my daughter.
104-101. I apologize.
That's close.
Yeah.
It was. That is a lot closer than the majority of the game was.
Oh, really?
But there was a couple missed rebounds. And like Angel said, they could have had it. I've never heard the arena that loud.
No, really. Their coaching staff, their players even came out and said they couldn't hear.
You couldn't hear.
Awesome.
I won those tickets from Advent Health, and they were literally the last row in the entire arena.
Okay.
I did not care at all.
Yeah.
I've sat back there. I've actually sat not on that upper level, like in an A or B, and then seeing the back row, and I go back there because it's fun to lay against the wall of the arena. I literally stand up.
And just watch everybody.
Yeah. And the tickets were still $150 a piece because I asked the people next to me, I was like, oh, y'all won too? And they're like, no. and we had a blast. Now here, Angel, you mentioned something to me last week about Bad Bunny, the Bad Bunny concert.
okay, that they were using, that Bad Bunny, this really huge musical artist, was performing at the arena a bit, 2 or 3 days before the Magic played, and that they'd brought in this technology, this really cool technology. Everybody puts it on. Thanks for sneezing on me, Savannah. Appreciate
Sorry,
that.
Sorry, I sneezed in my armpit.
And everybody had a bracelet on.
Yeah.
And the bracelet would change color.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually Amway's technology. Everybody at the playoff game had a bracelet that would change colors when they dunked a three-point shot. It was one of the most amazing live things. My daughter and I were like, oh, my God. When the intros happened, it was just another level. And
so everybody's bracelet was popping. Oh,
and
that's
cool. It was similar to a ride at Universal because I was like, oh, cool. Do we get to keep these? No, when you walk out, they take them back.
Oh.
And I've never
like
seen
it. Like the 3D glasses kind of thing. Yeah.
It was so. Shout out to Amway. Shout out to the Magic. Great, fun game to watch. We had it in our grasp. But the fact of the matter is the Toronto Raptors are a really good basketball team, and they have one of the best players in the world on their team.
Would you
agree, Angel?
Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and so the mentality is kind of either you let Kawhi get what he's going to get, and then you got to shut out everybody else. Kyle Lowry or any of those guys. Their kid that's just killing us right now.
Yeah, Samir Chasson.
Yeah, that kid, we don't have an answer for him.
Nope.
So, but I'm sorry, and I got the scoring correctly. It was 98-93, and then we lost last night 107-85. Now, last night,
107-85. Well, that's a stomping.
Yeah, last night we played bad.
Oh, yeah.
We started out hot, but we actually. Just, I feel like the guys were pressing. They're wanting to make these statement shots and coming down and raining threes and things like that and not working the offense.
So one more loss and we're out.
Yeah, so now Tuesday we're back in Toronto.
Yeah.
And then if we're able to pull that victory out in Toronto.
Then we come back.
Then we would be back on Thursday, I think, here in Orlando.
I hate to say it, Angel. I'm as diehard and as optimistic as they come. But I've watched the majority of this playoff series. They're just a better team. The Raptors just seem to be at this point.
But at least we made the playoffs. You know,
made
that's
the playoffs.
Good.
We got to win.
I really wanted one home win, though.
Counterpoint, you were touting. Oh, the jinx is over. I think the jinx is done.
I was like, stop.
I know. What are you doing? That brings the jinx back.
I know. I think it's back.
Yeah.
I think it's back.
Well, but you weren't at the game on Sunday. Were you?
I wasn't, but every time I watched, it was like the Raptors are like, Carlos is watching. Let's go on a run.
I got to tell you.
It's a weird thing with the NBA. I'll call my shot now. I think the Magic win this game on Tuesday and force it back because it's a different kind of pressure.
At home,
because you got so many people tugging at you. You got so many things going on. You're at home and all that. When you're on the road, you're kind of like just,
it's us against the world.
Yeah, it's us against that mentality. For some reason, I have this sneaky suspicion that they might pull it off
but
on Tuesday.
I'm with you, but I'm having a superstar player, Russ, like a Kawhi, it's a difference maker.
You know
man.
What? I was reminded about that on Sunday morning, because on Sunday morning, Shaquille O'Neal was a guest on one of those Sunday morning shows, and they showed some of Shaq playing with the Magic, and I was like, oh man, that's what I mean. You know, you hate to be the that's when things were great guy, but you know, that's when things were great when we had Shaquille O'Neal on our team.
We're really close, and there's gonna be somebody that's gonna see this young talent that we have. But man, there just weren't a lot of guys showing up and making some big plays.
I think last night they were pressing. They were trying. Everyone was trying to play hero ball.
Hero ball.
Yeah. They're making with some weird shots. Yeah.
We across the board, all Orlando sports were playing over the weekend.
Okay.
Orlando City Soccer had a victory on Saturday against Vancouver. Went to that match and it was great. They scored in the last few minutes of the match. A great turn out there.
I was going to say, how was attendance?
They hit about 20,000.
Jeez.
So they was there.
So they're drawing more people than the Orlando Magic.
Well, the venue's bigger.
It's a lot bigger.
Yeah, the Orlando stadium is bigger than the Amway. Shout out to the Orlando Solar Bears, their victory. they wrapped up, they won their division, 5-2 win over the Stingrays. They advanced to the South Division Finals.
Wow.
So congratulations to the Solar Bears. And then if you get a chance, I'm going to post this up here shortly. Her name is Joyce Vieira. And you're sitting there going, Angel, why are you telling me?
Joyce Vieira. Yeah.
So Joyce Vieira is a very, very beautiful Brazilian jiu-jitsu MMA fighter. And she was doing a bikini shoot out on the beach.
Okay.
And
this is great.
Some dude thought it would be cool to just get, just like...
Oh, no.
And she gives him a toe piece.
Oh, and yeah. Oh.
Not, yeah. Just bam, bam.
Pop, bam, bam.
Yeah, so I got the photographs of it, but I don't have the video of it. I'll post that up on monster.fm so you can check that out. And that is Monster Sports.
Yes.
You've been gone for Linda so long. Oh, Linda, I'm sorry. Linda.
Ace reporter and broadcaster Linda Miller. Yes, Linda, what's your thoughts on the Orlando Magic's loss?
Well, I imagine it's just going to blow it out their ass. That's what they always do. I'm just really disappointed in how they play, but I just want to talk more of a little bit about Joyce Vieira.
About who?
Joyce.
Joyce Vieira.
Okay.
As a female sports broadcaster, has been in the game a long time. Used to play for UNC Tar Heels women's basketball and also used to be in WNBA.
Golf.
Yeah. I like to say that women don't treat us the same. I mean, men don't treat us the same way. And, you know, dudes jerking it, like, they just do that whenever they see me, too. So I feel how she feels, you know, and back to you, Angel.
Linda Miller, have you ever given anybody a two-piece for doing something improper in front of you?
I never give them a two-piece much as I give them a scalp. Like, I like to cut the brains out of humans.
Whoa.
Back to you, Angel.
Okay. Wow, Linda Miller.
Wow. Thanks for the heads up.
Okay, wow. Good to know. And is that Monster Sports?
That is Monster
Sports. All right. Your chance to win $1,000 is here.
American Psycho Linda.
Yeah, listen for the keyword.
She's had a hard time. I admire her.
Keyword's about to hit it, and you just text that keyword to 200-200. When we come back, it's time. Back from Jamaica. It's time for Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Really?
You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from the
Real Radio 104.1.
So, if you want to see Avengers Endgame this Thursday with us at our own private movie theater at Sinopolis, if you do, then be here on Wednesday when we do the nerdy news, because and you dress as nerdy as you want to. Whatever character you want, nerd it out all you want. We're going to be able to pick five people to give them pairs of tickets to go see Avengers Endgame before everybody else. Starts Thursday night. And we have our own movie theater at one of the nicest movie theaters in town. It's called Sinopolis. And we have the entire theater, which is super cool. I want to thank Jeff Kaufman. Jeff Kaufman, who brings you the nerdy news. And it's Kaufman and Lynn is his business, his firm, his law firm. And then also Big City Comics is his comic book company. But he bought the entire the theater out, and we're going with him, and we're going to have some listeners come with us as well. So it's Avengers Endgame Thursday night at Sinopolis. If you want to win, be here on Wednesday around 9 o'clock when we do the nerdy news, and we'll pick some people to go with us on Thursday night. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Ryan Holmes, and now it's time for TED Talk Savannah, the Gator Entertainer.
Hey. I'm so happy to be back with you guys. I missed you guys so much. I missed all you guys in the YouTube. I missed some of you guys in the text. But more than anything in the world, I just miss Orlando and I miss Florida. Like, I love traveling, but I miss Orlando because this is where all my love is. It's where all my love has always come from. It has been my support system. So I consider everyone in the whole entire city of Orlando, as well as the state of Florida, my family. Except the people I don't like, and they know who they are. This segment is being brought to you by Gatorland Orlando, the alligator capital of the world, bringing you fun smiles and special memories since 1949. That's 70 years.
Wow.
This year, Gatorland celebrates its 70th birthday.
70 years ago must have been hard sell to keep gators around, because they must have just,
nobody
yeah, right, kill them. Get
and
rid
so
of them, yeah.
Well, that was the thing back then, right? I think it was just, they were just, it was just like a
nuisance.
An area.
It was just a side of the road area. And then Owen Godwin had the, like, thinking about stuff like that during that time and creating something like that to appreciate Florida wildlife, it just wasn't done. So it was very innovative. I feel like if I'd have lived in that time, that would have been me. Too, you know, so I appreciate it.
Maybe you would have been running moonshine though, too.
So, check out our YouTube channel, it's called Gatorland Vlogs. I'm about to put something up on Real Radio. From one of my favorite things to do when I get back from a conservation trip is to go all around the park and see all my favorite animals and tell them, hey.
Hi, Rat King. Hi, Turtle.
Do they respond to your voice?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hi, Bird. I don't know your name.
So that's one of my favorite things to do. So I made a video of that yesterday. And then tonight, I will have a video of Jamaica up on our YouTube channel. Go to Gatorland.com. You know what? And here's another great thing about Gatorland that I love so much. Active and retired military are always free with military ID.
Oh, really?
Not just on Veterans Day. Not just on 4th of July.
Every day.
But every single day of the year.
That's
so bring your military ID because Gatorland, we love America. How do you like that?
There you go.
All right, so I'll tell you guys about my trip to Jamaica now. Some of you guys, if you were listening in the 6 o'clock hour, you might have heard it, but I'm going to do it again. So, I wake up in the morning in Miami.
Yeah.
I get on the plane. I'm flying to Jamaica, and I'm so excited.
Look
right?
at me. I'm Bob Marley.
I see all the beautiful blue ocean. It's so pretty. We land in Kingston. Everybody's really nice. And then we start the journey into Jamaica Nowhere.
So, to go into Jamaica Nowhere, are you on a bus? Are you in a Jeep?
No, I'm in a car.
In a car, okay.
With four people. Yeah. It's actually a truck with four people.
That you know or you just met?
Two I just met, one I already knew.
Yeah, okay.
And then
Your trip always starts like a wanted abroad trip on the Learning Channel.
We immediately go to the Jamaican equivalent of Home Depot.
Okay. What does that look like?
It looks like Home Depot.
Oh, really?
And the name is Home Depot. Boop, boop.
And I have to get a phone.
Do they have as much stuff as our Home Depot?
Oh, my God, it's huge.
Really?
Yeah, huge. Man. Jamaicans love Home Depot.
I get a foam. Oh. I don't know what a foam is even, but I'm instructed to get a foam. So what a foam is, I find out later, is something I can sleep on the floor.
Oh.
It's a foam. So that
makes sense.
That's all right, whatever. So we roll the foam up. We put them in the back of the truck along with everything else, our luggage, our everything. And then we go straight to the Hope Zoo, which is in Kingston.
Oh.
And we pick up 31 baby American crocodiles. And
I put them in my purse.
Like this big or this big?
Like this big.
Oh, hatchlings. baby. Really baby. Okay.
Yeah.
So we catch those. We have a little meeting at the Hope Zoo. We put the crocodiles in the containers for the crocodiles, but there's no more room in the truck, right? So I'm sitting in the back seat with a box of crocodiles. My friend is sitting on his side with a box of crocodiles. Someone's in the front seat with a box of crocodiles. And then there's the driver. And we start on the 2.5 hour venture into Jamaica
Nowhere. Oh, my God. I didn't know you could drive 2.5 hours into Jamaica. Seriously.
You can.
It's not that big of an island.
And I'm hungry because I didn't eat in the morning. So
I ate one of them gators. Gator tartar.
Every jerk chicken place on the side of the road, I'm like, can we stop here?
Solana, we stopped 7 times already, man.
But they would never let me stop, right? They would never let us stop. They're like, no, we'll get some when we get to the place. We'll get some. So I'm waiting. I'm getting hungrier and hungrier.
How are these roads that you're talking
Probably
about?
Probably beautifully paved.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Lights. very safe. Sure.
Yeah, ridiculous. So we're bouncing. There's crocodiles bouncing. Like, the back of the truck is full, everything. Finally, we get to a spot where we can get some jerk chicken. There's a limited amount of food in this place, right?
You mean Jamaica?
No, in the place where we were in Jamaica.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm immediately like, you need to buy me 2 chickens.
Yeah.
And they're
like, that's what I always say.
And they're like, no, we'll just get something tomorrow. And I was like, no, you don't understand. I'm a big girl, and I need to eat.
I need protein.
And they're like, no, we have food at the house. And I was like, please just get me 2 chickens. And they were like, no, it's going to be fine. Don't worry about it. We get to the place.
Ain't nothing.
There ain't no food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you get your 2 chickens?
And I already ate my 1 chicken thing because they only let me buy 1 chicken.
Yeah, oh, now this is a live chicken.
I'll be raising hell right now.
So I asked the guy at the thing, like, because people eat chicken feet, right? I never ate chicken feet.
Oh, it's the most disgusting.
Well, that's the grossest part of the chicken. I mean, if you're going to eat the chicken's foot, you might as well eat the chicken's butt.
Yeah.
That's the first night. We unload. We set the crocodiles up where they're going to live. I check out the sanctuary. And I realize that there is nothing around me.
The people that denied you the two chickens and you only got one, did you give them a look when you got there and there was no food? Did you like?
Yeah.
Like I told you so?
But yeah. You got the chicken though. You
I got one chicken, but I ate that whole chicken in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. One or two, yeah.
Yeah. So even the guy that was selling the chicken was like, she's gonna need more, man.
Yeah. Look at her. She didn't need more.
Did
she
you like... show her the tattoo on your back that says, I'm a two chicken girl?
I'm a two chicken.
But I wrote that song chicken. About it. Savannah's a two chicken girl.
Man, I'd be so mad if I said I wanted two chickens.
Right.
I got there and there was no food. I'd be like, I told you I needed two chickens.
And I forgot to tell you this.
What?
On the chicken that I did get.
Yeah.
I'm like talking to people. They're hanging out in the back of a truck. Like I'm talking to everybody. I when I do pull my chicken out of the tinfoil, half of it drops in the dirt.
So you only had half a chicken?
So I'm eating half the dirty one chicken.
Oh, I'd be mad as hell.
Damn. I couldn't pick it up. It was too dirty.
Yeah.
Like, and I will eat some dirt, but I couldn't eat this Jamaica dirt.
Right.
So, anyways. we get there. It's a completely solar-powered research station. It's amazing. All the water there is from rain.
Hey, Savannah.
What?
Did you say you like to eat dirt?
No.
Do you ever try a Daytona dirt dog?
No, I'm good, Slime.
All right, maybe in Daytona.
So we get there, and there are no mirrors. Good I brought my own, because I'm smart like that, because how am I going to put my eyebrows on without a mirror?
That's a good point. Yeah, right.
The woman goes to sleep at night. No eyebrows. She wakes up green.
And then first, so we set up the crocodiles. We get all our stuff out. And it's about, I don't know, maybe 101 degrees when it gets to be nighttime.
Oh.
No AC.
At night it's 101?
About that first night.
Mosquitoes?
And no AC. There are mosquitoes.
But even the mosquitoes are like, nah, man.
We're good.
Too
hard. We're good.
There are lots of mosquitoes. Luckily for me, I don't get bit by mosquitoes very often. But one of the people that was with me immediately got stung by a herd of wasps.
Ooh. Oh, not the herd place of you wasps. Want to be.
Like, wasps stung him so bad that his chest boob was as big as mine.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You get a little picture?
No. Anyway, so it was super fun. The next day we go out to the beach. That's where I saw all the pollution. I'll have a YouTube video up about that tonight so you guys can see for yourself. And then it gets to be in the late night, right?
Yeah.
It's in the late night. Uh-huh. And now we're looking for crocodiles and we're looking for nests. So there's this
my
big,
time
huge
to shine.
Drain.
The light on
and
the gator.
You're in the water, right?
Big, huge drainage. I blew out my boots. I don't have any big waterproof boots anymore because I lost them.
No.
I climbed down this crazy ravine. Like, it's insane the stuff that I did. And I go.
So were you barefoot if you blew out your boots?
I didn't blow out my boots that night.
Oh,
I
had some jellies on.
I had. Don't say jelly. I have a headlamp on. And they're like, okay, well, we think the crocodile's on the other side of this. So I'm like, all right, I'll go. I'll do this one. I'll go get it. So I crawl down and I get into this drain pipe.
I'm quiet as a little Jamaican mouse.
And you got a lamp on your forehead.
I have a lamp on my head.
Headlamp.
My hand, I'm on like all fours crawling through this, and it's a drainage ditch,
oh,
right?
Hell no.
You know what's in
that
a drainage ditch?
Hot.
Well, yeah. I'm coming through and I see something up on the top of the drainage ditch. I'm like, whoa, what the heck is that?
Is that a hieroglyphic?
I think it's a leaf, right? So I'm trying to get through to the other side where I know the crocodile is because I need to cinch up the crocodile.
Sure, that's the safe part.
So at the end, you there is a crocodile at the end of this drainage pipe.
Yeah.
That is
God.
Makes no sense.
So I look up.
We sent a blonde girl down the doodle pipe.
So I look up and I see, and it's a bat, right? It's a really cool, super cool bat. And the
bat. Big bat?
So the bat's like doing little things with his ears and checking me out, and all of a sudden he flies to my face and I scream, and as I scream, the crocodile jumps into the tunnel.
Oh, hell.
Right?
How big is this crocodile?
He wasn't that big, like maybe 8 feet.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, tiny.
The crocodiles are more aggressive than gators.
Yeah, that
correct?
Tiny little gator that's bigger than Shaq. A croc.
And that is when I was up close, personal, introduced to Ja, the first American crocodile I see in Jamaica.
All right, Savannah. I want to eat a piece of you.
Hi, Ja. Thanks for coming out so I can see.
What the hell you doing in here, girl?
I was looking
What are you doing in here? Book.
I'm looking for you and your family so I can assess.
Oh, I'm fine. I'm living a poo-poo drain. I live in a poo-poo drain.
Well, it's not okay for you to be living in sewage.
Yeah, but, well, you show me better place because I got to go poo. I live in a drain where people go poo-poo.
So,
here comes Havana, and here comes Havana, not eating chicken, and not eating chicken.
So I see the crocodile, and I want the crocodile to come out, but the crocodile is...
No way! I'm not going after Savannah. She's a yeti. You cannot touch my tail, too.
The crocodile is equally as frightened of me as I am.
So you're face to face with this crocodile.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Where are your eyebrows at? Some water splash your eyebrows off. You look scary. You have any chicken? Because I live in a drain filled with poo. I want chicken.
Oh my God, I can't stop laughing.
Bring the bat, I'll eat him too. The bat is all scared, the bat is all scared, the bat is all scared.
Oh my gosh, I can't even breathe. So anyways, I'm asking for the people behind. See, the thing is, I needed a stick, right? And I didn't take
the stick. The stick ain't gonna do nothing.
What the hell's a stick gonna do?
I bite it, and then I'll come after your old face.
So I need the stick, but I don't want anybody to crawl in the drain behind me to give me the stick, because then we're too deep, right?
Yeah.
And I did learn, magically, a stick will keep a crocodile or a gator away, because I know when I went with you one time, that one of the guys...
Not in Jamaica, Russ.
If you put a stick in front of a gator or a crocodile...
I don't know where to go with the rest of the story, because I'm laughing too much.
But it didn't bite you.
It did not bite me. American crocodiles are very shy.
Look, man. I'm blazed. I lay and poop, and I smoke all day. It's Jamaica Gator.
Yeah, you think about Jamaica, you think they are all smoking all the time. Did you run into any of that?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll just say yep.
Okay.
But they call it grabba.
Oh, grabba. Yeah. You gonna don't get out of my drain, Papa, about to grabba your ass.
So we ended up finding the mate of Jaw that I was in the...
Milady. She's a fine Jamaican queen.
And she had a nest. But, I mean, realistically, like, they were both covered in pollution.
Oh, really?
And it was really sad for me to see. But we saved the eggs. We were able to take them to the sanctuary so they'll hatch out. Then once they hatch out and they're the size that they need to be, I will go back and release them into Jamaica. So Ja will have his babies out there.
So they're here in Gatorland now?
No. Oh. They're in Jamaica still.
They're in Jamaica, okay. Yeah.
And they're in an incubator outside. And when they hatch out, once they grow and they're about 2 feet long, we'll go back to Jamaica and then we'll put them in Jamaica where they can live forever.
Very cool.
But it was an amazing experience.
You're a badass, girl. I got to give you props. I mean, what you do, I don't know anybody else in the world who does it. And you have... actively done this yourself, and you should be very proud. I mean, it was 14 that Facebook popped up, and it was like Savannah trying to buy that gator farm.
Yeah.
What you've done in that time is remarkable.
Because I work really hard.
You do.
And thanks to my good friend Jaw in Jamaica, I'm gonna be going back over there. And the crocodiles do. They live in sewage there.
I met Savannah.
You'll see Savannah at Gatorland today if you want to. She'll be there all week.
But I did not eat her booty.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
This is Real Radio 104.1, online at realradio.fm, on your phone with the free iHeartRadio app, and on your smart speaker. Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
It would be my pleasure.
From Real Radio.
Point one. all day long through the News Junkie and the Jim Colbert Show and through Tom and Dan. Also tonight, Real Laughs with Monster Comics, all here on Real Radio 104.1. This Saturday, if you're in Winter Haven, you have an opportunity to see the King of Denmark, Ryan Holmes, along with members of Real Laughs and also Ross Padgett from the Jim Colbert Show, right?
Yeah, and you can get tickets to that at winterhavenlaughs.com. Come out and hang out. It's at a great theater over there in Winter Haven. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You guys are going to take over. That's awesome. That's going to be really cool. It's this Saturday, and Ryan Holmes will be there. Hey, so welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos and Savannah and Ryan, all here today. So did you guys see? Okay. I know the name. I can't. I don't know where I should know it from, though. Gavin DeGraw. Is Gavin DeGraw, is he like a
I don't want to be anything, everything, but
he's
has a bunch of hits, piano guy.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So they asked him to sing the national anthem at the Nashville Predators game. That's their hockey team, mm-hmm. right? That's NHL hockey team. And he does a really pretty good job singing it, but did you see what happened afterwards?
No.
Okay, so this is Gavin DeGraw. Like, okay, this is the last part of the national anthem, and he's pretty happy. He nailed it. You know, sounded pretty good.
Can we hear it?
No, I just have it on this, because visually is what's going to happen. He takes a step back, and he face plants in front of, like, what, 18,000 people?
Oh, right.
I mean, in front of 18,000 people.
Yeah.
Probably one of his most embarrassing public moments. So when the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of your most embarrassing public moment, and as soon as I thought about it, the first one that came to my mind was trying to throw the baseball at the that opening game.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. That was my least favorite public moment as far as embarrassment.
That one more than you trying to stop the soccer?
The soccer stop.
Was terrible.
I don't care about that, though. Soccer is not an American game. I know people are trying to make it American, but it's not. It's, you know, I'm not mad about the soccer.
What happened with the baseball? Never saw video footage of that. I did see the video footage of the soccer, and it was awful.
Yeah, it was not good, but the baseball made me more upset because I practiced the baseball thing so many times, you know, trying to make sure I got
it. He went out and bought the balls that have, like, the finger placement, so if you're trying to throw just a regular
over different colored
ones. Yeah, you went out and bought one of those. Yeah,
how can you not throw a baseball across a plate?
I don't know. I hit the ground and so I
shut up.
Yeah.
You're trying to like good. Throw it like a fastball.
I tried to throw it too hard and it hit the ground before it went in. So that was
man.
Very embarrassing. Okay,
that's embarrassing.
All right. So what's your most embarrassing public moment, Savannah?
None.
Oh come
I'm
on.
Awesome.
Never oh come on.
It. I mean, I don't make mistakes.
I burned off my embarrassment gene. When I was 17 with the Marlboro. I don't even know
most
that
most embarrassing
feels
public
right.
moment. Let me think about it.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, by the way, someone said, God, I love it when Russ plays videos on the air. We can't watch it through the radio. If you're watching on YouTube, you were able to see it. And you can go to our website at monsters.fm and see it a little bit later.
So, huh?
Just so you know what we're talking about, though. It's made all the major news, Gavin DeGraw. I mean, he takes one step back, and he's on ice because he's standing on a carpet, right? And he takes a step back, and he's on ice, and he just face plants. I mean, right?
Oh, he's on a carpet to start with.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, see, he's on a carpet right there. And then,
like a genie.
And then he takes a step back and totally face plants. How about you, Ryan? What's your most embarrassing, you know, like public moment?
Man, I can remember one time my buddy was like just announced that he was having his first baby, and I was working at the time, and I was at the place I was working at. It was the bar, and everybody outside the bar can see what I'm doing. So I go run to go give him a big hug, and I'm like, congratulations. And I've never had this happen before, but both feet went out from under me as I'm running, and they go up into the air at 90-degree angle, and I land hard on my back and neck.
Where was this?
Just in the parking lot of a graffiti junction. And all these people were laughing at me, and I couldn't get up, and I threw out my back for a solid week after that.
Oh, that was okay. Damn. That's right. Damn.
Embarrassing public moment, Carlos?
Man, I've had so many. I really have. Yeah. I really have been embarrassed many times, whether it's, you know, being handcuffed and St. Patrick's Day as people walk by you and throw their beer on you, and I'm like, that's pretty embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they threw beer on you?
Oh, yeah. I was looked at as a scourge. And then there are other moments like when the boss set up with Jimmy that I won Employee of the Year. Yeah. It was really low down and dirty.
What happened?
And the boss then said I won Employee of the Year and called me up in front of the entire company and then said, "Skit happens to me."
And then laughed.
And then laughed in my face. That was good.
Oh, man.
It was
what?
It was a real thing. and let's see here. But recently.
Yeah.
I was at my, it was a skate night.
Yeah.
And, Angel, do you have any cha-cha slide? You got any? Man, you can give me a second. And, you know, I like to, there we go. And
yeah.
I was like, and I had my skates on. This is before they, oh yeah. And this is before they got stolen from my car. So I was like, you know, I was feeling good with my skates. So I get out in the middle. All of the students are in a circle. And I'm like, jobbing out. And I'm like, get funky, funky, funky. And I start moving back and forth, and I feel a little confident. And then there's one part that says jump in the sky or something like that. So I jump in the sky. And when I land on my knees.
Ooh.
And I scream like this.
Oh, yeah, you told this story.
Yeah. In front of the kids. And they pointed at me like I was.
And they
like,
laugh at you?
They laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
And they laugh. And I did not cha-cha slide anymore. And my knees looked like they were shattered. Luckily, just contusions.
They're okay now.
They're okay now. Back to being able to sit in this chair.
Angel, what about a most embarrassing public moment like Gavin DeGraw had?
One I could think of, because I cringed, I was cringing as I was thinking about it right now. So I got invited to be part of this basketball team. And I was like the outsider of this of these guys. All these guys were like all Americans. They were, you know, had all these accolades.
Yeah.
And I really like was trying to like show that I belonged with these guys because I had none of that pedigree. You know, I just had a really good little summer league basketball tournament, and I did well in this tournament.
Yeah.
And I got the at large kind of invitation to this, you know, to be part of this bigger team. And all the guys, I know who all these other guys are. I'm like, oh, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so, and he goes over here. And so we're doing like a shoot-around warm-up kind of thing, right? And I can, you know, like, who's this guy? Like, and
they can hear him,
who's he from, you know? And then at that time, like, they didn't know my name, so they were just calling me Julio. I was like, where's Julio from? And I was like, Julio, who are you guys
every
talking
black
about?
Dude calls the Hispanic guy Julio.
Yeah. Really?
Hey, Julio! Yeah. I've been called Julio so many times in the parks. So, yeah. Like, I didn't
so
know that.
I was like, and so I'm trying to, like, I'm like, I got to do something to, you know, prove, you know, get, you know, show these guys I can ball out.
I belong.
Like, yeah, right? So we're doing the shoot around, and I tried to be slick and basically did a drive to the basket, and I was just going to throw down just a mean, awesome dunk.
Yeah.
Right? I was just, you know, a little signature, a little, you
just
know.
Just let them know you're there.
Know, yeah. Like, you know, hey, I know I belong on this court with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's a term called rim check, right? A rim check is when you go up and it's the rim that blocks your shot.
Oh, you just go up high enough.
And, and you make it worse by, let's say, trying to be very aggressive.
Uh-huh.
And so I've got the ball, like, cocked way back here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to have my best Jordan moment.
Uh-huh, yeah, you show them
just,
what's up.
Yeah, hit the rim. And then not only did I fall, it wasn't graceful at all. I literally flew backwards, landed straight on my ass.
Oh,
and then there's
man.
20 other dudes going,
Nah,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That was my. I still cringe now, man.
That's pretty good.
That hurt my feelings. I hurt my feelings. I shared that with you.
No, I appreciate you doing it. It reminded me.
I'm connected with you more now.
My second place most embarrassing was I had a wrestling match at the Amway Center. I mean, we had like Ric Flair was there, Hulk Hogan, like all these people were there, and I had a match. And in the match, I was at the end, we take it home, the end, I was supposed to go to the top rope and come off the top rope with the guy. And I was so tired, I could only get to the second rope. And I did, like, the second rope splash, which was not impressive at all. It was that was really bad. And backstage, the guys were like, I thought you were supposed to go to the top rope. And I'm like, oh, I couldn't.
Still tall.
I was so tired. I was so tired.
I'm the second turnbuckle guy.
Ask me again.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Ask me, Eddie Quinn.
So, Savannah, what's the most embarrassing public moment you've ever had?
None.
Damn, got you twice. Your story didn't even embarrass me.
I mean,
I can think of some.
Everything I do is pretty much just what, Carlos?
I'm the baddest bitch. I mean, it's pretty much badass bitches and just unlawlessness.
Grace. I mean, I'm graceful
I'm
everywhere
grace.
I walk.
Never been embarrassed in public, huh?
I'm grace under fire.
Yeah. There you go.
Me and BB.
Actually, Yep, no, there's nothing.
I was thinking about it.
You almost had one.
Oh, okay. I thought I almost had one, but then, you know, I pulled it off, so no.
Never been embarrassed. Okay, no. All right, that's good to know. All right, you're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Hey, every hour you have a chance to win $1,000 here on Real Radio 104.1. We've given away $5,000 so far. You could be next, so just keep listening for the keyword and texting it to 200-200, and you're going to do it all day long here on Real Radio 104.1, right through the News Junkie and the Jim Colbert Show and Tom and Dan, and we want you to listen to Real Laughs tonight here on Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos, Savannah, Ryan Holmes, and our special guest on Mondays is Stephen Kramer.
Hey.
To tell us what's going on in the world of news, the legal angle of it all.
Yeah.
And did you have a good Easter?
I had a great weekend. Great. I mean,
do you guys do special Easter?
I had a rough week last week. I was feeling like crap. But the good thing is I did a lot, you know, catch up on a couple movies, catch up on a couple shows. But yeah, so
what'd
I'm
you,
here.
What'd you watch? What movie?
I watched I, Tonya. That movie was
I liked it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, I liked it.
Allison Janney.
Oof. It's good.
She's good.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
funny. She's hilarious. I like her a lot.
Hey, as an attorney, yeah. you probably would get a kick out of something that I watched last night on Netflix, and it's called Cocaine Island.
I heard about that.
Yeah, you might get a kick out of it, and I'm not going to give it away.
I haven't seen it. People, tell me about it.
It's a documentary about a guy who was aware of, or someone told him about $1 million worth of cocaine that was buried somewhere, and it was just like a rumor story, and you have to watch what happens.
Is it documentary or
it's documentary style, and
it's a fake
but it's a real case, and they talk to real people that are involved with it, and it really did happen. You see the news reports and all this kind of stuff, and you just see what happens to this guy. And from an attorney's point of view, it would be really interesting, because as you're watching it, it's one of those ones where you're like, you're thinking one way, and then as the attorney gets involved, you're like, oh, yeah, you look at it a totally different way. Like, but what would you do, Savannah, or anyone here, if you knew or if someone told you were $1 million worth of cocaine, you knew exactly where it was?
I don't like to dig. I'm not big on shoveling and digging,
yeah.
So I'd probably just be like, I'll pass. I'll give it to somebody else.
And that was a problem. The digging part of them was...
Of course it is. It's hard to dig. People underestimate diggers all the time.
Yeah.
That's why Grave Digger's such a celebrity.
It's true.
Hey, I found it to be a very interesting a movie. As an attorney, I think you get a kick out of the last part of it, because legalities are involved.
Really?
Yeah.
Anything specific that you can spoil?
I don't want to spoil it for people. They'll start
that's
crying.
Like that movie with Billy Bob Thornton where they find the money. What was that?
Yeah.
It's
Lucky
every
numbers.
Story.
No, not Lucky Numbers.
It's every story.
Money
it's,
for Nothing?
No, it was in the 90s. Anyway.
90s money?
Something like that. They had some plane crashes or something. They find a ton of money. But it's like every story that's like that. And it's that it's tainted. It's that it's cursed. And in touching that money, Fargo, the same thing. And in getting involved with that money, it never goes right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, you know, you can't spoil it, because it almost has to be that way. Otherwise, it just doesn't work.
Well, if it's cocaine, then you got to be like, you have to put the time and effort in and go like, well, I guess I got to become like a drug lord now. I've got to set up distribution.
Yeah.
It's not like you just like hand it off to somebody.
See, but yeah. I'm always I am firmly convinced if I was ever to find one of those, you know, the square groupers or whatever off the coast of, you know, any of our beaches here, I genuinely believe that I think I could. And maybe it's just me being naive and an idiot, and I'm willing to concede that those are definite possibilities as well.
Right.
That I could I could, that would almost be like hitting the lottery, that I know the right people, that I could get rid of it and make a windfall of cash and be, you know, better for it.
But they're looking for it, though.
Yeah, and until two guys, you know, are in your apartment waiting for you when you come home.
Nah, kill them.
Nah.
Oh, sorry.
Exactly, and that's the path that always winds up going down. It's a simple plan. That movie with Billy Bob Thornton is a simple plan.
You should watch that. It's called Cocaine Island, and a lot of legal stuff involved, but it's very interesting, and it's a true story. Happened in the state of Florida. This dude is just like any white dude, old fat white dude that I've seen growing up.
It's a Florida Man. Florida Man documentary.
Florida Man documentary, and it's so funny because the beginning, this is not going to give anything away because, you know, it's his wife talking, and she starts crying because, like, at one time he had a lot of money, right? Yeah. He had all this money because he was in the construction business, and he actually helped to build parts of in Gainesville at the Gator Stadium. Mm-hmm. And he had all kinds of money. He had everything. He had cars and boats and all this kind of stuff. And then the recession hit, and he lost everything. And
so this is pretty recent.
Oh, yeah. And they're talking to his wife.
I represented a lot of guys like that.
This story, this involves Puerto Rico.
Yes, it does. Yeah, that's where it was buried in Puerto Rico. So she's crying because she's like, we have to live in a trailer now. And it's like, I'm laughing because, I mean, there are a lot of people that have, you know, they live in a trailer. They're proud of
it. Double wides, man.
But she's crying because, you know, they had everything and now all they can afford was a trailer. And this guy has always heard this story of this, the cocaine that's buried in Puerto Rico. And then you have to watch. Funny. You have to watch what happened.
Listen, the first issue is the way the cocaine is valued, right? Mm-hmm. So that they're valuing it at like the maximum street value. If you break it into the smallest, you know, manageable pieces, and then sell it, you know, at the highest possible prices.
Yeah.
That guy's not going to do that.
He
doesn't have the infrastructure, so he's not going to get $1 million. He's not going to get half that. He's not even going to get a tenth of that because he doesn't even know how to move it or to do that. And then he may wind up spending the rest of his life in federal prison, depending on how much cocaine you're talking about.
You have to have the proper channels of distribution, okay? Sosa brings it to me. I can go talk to Frank. There's a lot of ways to do this,
man. Does it expire?
Huh?
Does it expire? Does cocaine go bad?
That's a good question. It was buried for 10 years.
Yeah. I, to this day, have not found an expired cocaine. Always works.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't seem to stay around.
This is really old cocaine. Should we not try it? No, let's try it. Who knows?
And Stephen Kramer, you're right. The whole thing about he didn't know anyone to sell it to. That comes into play.
That's a really easy way to get killed. To me, that's the first thing I think. Isn't even law. It's like, all right, well, if you want to die, that's a good thing to do.
Well, I would say, I'm not going to give it away to you, but you got to watch it. As an attorney, you'll be very interested in the whole thing.
Even when it's easy money like that, like free money, it never works out, right? It's like Crime and Punishment. I mean, it goes back. You could just, that's one of the original stories that deals with, you know, justified taking of money, you know, Dostoevsky forever ago. So.
The ultimate easy money is like you're already business. Thing. Like he's already a business guy. He knows business. Just do business.
Yeah. Get back into contracting.
He had lost everything, and he was still living in the trailer, and the business hadn't come back, and he was still kind of, you know.
You got to start small, okay? You got to have Manny. You got to have Chichi, okay? You got to meet with the Colombians in the hotel. And when they ask you if you got the money, you say it's not here. But it's close by.
Right!
And then they say, oh, okay, I got the yayo here. But it's close by. Are you going to keep playing with me, man, or are we going to do a deal?
And then it goes in from there.
Yeah, yeah.
Then chainsaws
come out.
It's a little bit nuts.
But I'm not budging.
This dude is a big fan of Scarface.
Of course.
They show him sitting there trying to impersonate, you know, the whole scene show me my...
Say hello to my little friend. That's the trailer of it, as the guy talks about. I mean, that's how we're all inspired.
That's the impression you don't do normally. You know everybody else does that one line in the movie.
Exactly.
You never do that one.
Exactly.
That's right.
I never.
I used to DJ in college, there were certain songs if I did in the 80s night, I never played them.
Never done. You're right. I never thought about that, Kramer, but thank you.
But that's what the people want. They want Don't I Stop
know,
Believing.
The people don't know what they want, okay? I tell them what they want. Me!
Yeah, you do.
But then you just set yourself up for an anger, a confrontation where you're hey, man, can you play Don't Stop Believing?
Angel knows. That never happens.
Nah. Do what you want. When you're the DJ, you control the tunes.
That's right.
It's too much power for one man.
That is a lot of power.
Being a DJ?
Yeah, because
it is.
Because people, they're just there for a good time. They don't think they're bothering you by coming up and be like, hey, man, can you play this song? They want the rest
first
of the
off,
audience
you said
to
that
have a good
sober
time.
Voice, and that's never how it is.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So that you saw that Adele thing, right?
What's that?
Adele's getting divorced.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, Adele, and they just got married like last year, right?
I think it's been like 3 years.
It hadn't been that long, though. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, that's not a long marriage by any stretch. But
You know what it screams of? She needs new material.
Yeah,
she's got something to write about.
That is a really cynical way of looking at it.
It is.
It was heartbreaking. She released a lot of stuff. The letter that she wrote to her husband just started with, hello. We're getting divorced.
Wouldn't that have been the record after a breakup, Carlos?
Yeah, I guess you could. I mean, that's the old switcheroo.
That record was a little bit darker, right?
Yeah. I'm not a huge Adele fan.
So no. Where do you go from there?
Happy. You go,
Look at me now.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. If only you could see me.
Now she's going to get real thin.
I guess she has a baby as well. They have a child together. So she signed over the house to him, so he had a place to live.
The castle?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Doesn't she live in a castle?
Is it a castle?
I mean, she could live it. That's one of her houses, right? That's one of just one of her many castles. I mean, she's sold a lot of records. Huh. A lot. And I get the impression that she did it for love and didn't necessarily sign it.
Yeah, they were married for 7 years.
Oh, really?
7 years? Wow. 7 years? Wow.
Yeah, I'm with you, Russ. I thought it was much shorter than that because I was kind of... 7 years is a hell of a run.
They've been together for seven. They were, quote-unquote, married officially for three.
Okay, that's what I said, three years. Okay.
There you go.
If you're writing sad songs all day long and breakup songs, you're eventually going to just break up, right?
That means the prenup ended at 6 years.
Well, do you know... Did they have a prenup?
I don't know. I don't
you
get
bet
that pressure.
Your ass they did. They had to.
You know, it can get weird.
He's an exec guy, though, too.
We talked about that before, about Brad Pitt and Angelina. I mean, they don't have a prenup. I mean, Bezos didn't have a prenup. Lots of these people you would expect to do it don't. And especially, it's not romantic. It's tough to bring up. And, you know, I could see her. She's a passionate person. She falls in love. She believes it's going to work.
Right.
You marry for love, and you
and
don't
she's
think
a
it's
big
gonna...
girl.
Yeah.
And
big girls don't do prenups. That's a fact. Remember that?
That's like a song title.
Big girls, they don't do prenups. Damn, they can cook a good steak.
So then after she announced the fact that they were splitting up, that her and Jennifer Lawrence went to a gay bar together.
Oh, J-Lo?
Yeah. Okay. Hung out all night long.
A whole different kind of Hunger Games.
At a gay bar.
Oh, what?
What are you doing, dude?
All right, listen, we take a little break. When we come back, your chance to win $1,000 is still here. So listen for the keyword. Text the keyword to 200-200. And you could win $1,000. We'll come back with Stephen Kramer. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Monster Morning. Urban cocaine cowboy. Yay, yo,
yay, yo, yay, yo, yay. I love this song. Yay, this is going to be on my iPod. Yay.
Win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1 from Radio. 104.1.
Hey, good luck winning $1,000. That was your keyword there. Just text that word to 200-200. Be prepared to answer the phone in about an hour from now. It could be iHeart calling you to tell you won the money, and that's the best way to do it. Just answer that phone. Because if you don't answer the phone, they're going to call someone else, and we don't want that. We want you guys to win that $1,000. Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings, Real Radio 104.1. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Carlos. Savannah and Ryan Holmes and Stephen Kramer is here. And if you want to get hold of Stephen Kramer, you can by going to...
OneFirmForLife.com.
OneFirmForLife.com. So are you busy all the time? Like during the day, you're all day long.
Always.
You're going. Are you in court a lot? Do you go to the?
I deal with more management now. You know, but I still go to court and still do what I need to.
Do you enjoy that? Like what do you enjoy most?
Do you pretend like you're in Law and Order?
Mm-hmm. That's funny. One of my first hearings, I got told by the judge. You said it most embarrassing moments.
Yeah,
it wasn't that embarrassing, but one of my very first hearings. I you know, making my argument and doing my examination of the witness, and the judge said exactly that. Said, Mr. Kramer, this is not law and order.
Damn.
Really? Yeah.
And then my buddy from law school was in the crowd, and we went to breakfast afterwards, and she said, I thought you were great. Ah. But I still, anyway.
So do you enjoy the argument in front of a jury like that?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I'm not afraid to be on stage ever. I was a, you know, professional musician, and I DJ'd as a kid, and you know, do TV and radio and all that, and so obviously I wanted to do that, and you know, the courtroom and trial is a drama. I mean, it is kind of an enactment in that way. So yeah, I mean, and I talk about that in our marketing. Is I became a lawyer because I like to be.
Why didn't
trial.
You just be DJ Legal?
Oh, DJ Legal,
right? Yeah. Right. Angel?
Damn, 1-800-444-TUNES.
Still one of my top legal. Three jobs of all time that I ever had, damn. For sure. But yeah, so I love to be in court.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, a lot of litigants don't want to be there.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Because if it's like, yeah, I mean, imagine you're dealing with a DUI, and I say, I feel good about this. I think you've got great odds, but you know, you could go to jail for a year or 6 months or whatever. Yeah.
When I was on trial, and my lawyer was up there, and he, shout out to rest in peace, Kirk Connell was his name. Very well known.
Oh, he passed?
Yeah. He passed years ago, yeah. And
his name was Kirk Connell?
His name was, and he was an old Southern lawyer. And Judge, I must request your ear. I mean, when he started speaking, Russ was there, and you were like, thank God, this is an award-winning performance that he's putting on right now. It really stuck with me how much a trial lawyer is an actor, and he saved my ass. There's no doubt about it. If it wasn't him, I didn't know you at the time, Kramer. I would have called you, trust me. but it was a performance that he put on, and the judge looked at him like, I like your performance.
Well, what year was that? That was a long time ago.
It was in 2006.
All right, so, you know, at that point, I was pretty newbie.
Yeah, sure.
I was out of law school like 4 years, so you never know.
I just remember he sat there, and he looked at me and goes, son... You're gonna go to jail. He goes, you got to plea straight to the judge, and I happen to know the judge for many years. I was like, oh my God, this is
the way it works.
Well, that's the expression is a good lawyer knows the law, a great lawyer knows the judge. Not necessarily because the judge is going to treat them with favoritism. It's that they know how the judge thinks.
Yes.
They know how they handle themselves.
I just found that, you know, that
they've got a rapport.
Yep.
One of the things that struck me as odd, you know, getting in, you know, doing what we do, there was a particular attorney, I won't say his name, but that I got to know, and he asked me to go to a party, and I go to a party, and when I go to this party, like, three judges are there. And I'm like, I didn't think they were allowed to be friends and fraternize. I
mean,
and...
But what do you think happens? I mean, all the people we go to law school with, all the people we start practicing with, I mean, they go further in their career, and some of them are going to become judges. And
most judges are lawyers. Or former lawyers.
They all are in Florida. Yeah. So, you know, it's not a mandate like at the federal level. You could be on the Supreme Court and hypothetically not have been a lawyer or a judge. But in Florida, you have to be a lawyer before you can be a judge. So these are the people you practice with.
Back in the day when I was younger, the lawyer was definitely one of the things, because I always saw that as a performance, too.
Yeah.
And it is.
I mean, there's the drama of the courtroom. I remember first, you know, doing my first classes on that. And one of the things is, when it's cross-examination, the lawyer is the main, is the featured moment, because it's your narrative. You're asking, you know, the person you're cross-examining questions, and they're leading questions. Isn't it true, Carlos, that you were at the bar at 11 o'clock on Saturday?
I might have been.
Exactly.
It was expired cocaine.
And when it's your witness, they're the main event. So you step into the background and you let your witness shine. I mean, but the thing is, a lot of people don't like doing that, and that's
most lawyers are not trial lawyers. Most lawyers are not trial lawyers.
Yeah. That's why I think always videos are great. A great tool if you're, you know, trying to vet an attorney is, you know, a video is usually somebody gets to do a bunch of takes and edit, and what do they come up with after all that, right?
Right.
And if it's then you know, how are they going to be in the courtroom at that moment? It's like, you know.
Yes, Ryan, you have a question for Stephen Kramer.
Yeah, so if judges and lawyers can be friends and they can all fraternize and stuff, what's the overall point of, like, because when you go to, you have to surrender your social media passwords to the bar. What's the deal with that?
Well, you know, the social media stuff is kind of, it's not quite that, but it's a little bit convoluted. I've seen we've had judges get in trouble for that, actually, for how they handle themselves with social media. And it's a little bit complicated. And I think it's a little convoluted because, judges are not supposed to, like, I guess, enter into social media connections with potentially, or they would generally avoid entering to the lawyers in front of them, and they'll avoid it with litigants that are in front of them. But the problem is that in some ways that social media can offer more transparency, right?
Yeah.
Because you could walk into court, you've got no idea that me and the judge went to law school together, that we're tight, you know, mm-hmm. but with social media, you could see that.
Right. Oh.
You could see at least there's some connection there. The other thing we do is we expect that judges don't let those personal relationships get in the way.
How is that possible?
I mean,
we're human beings, so how is that possible?
It's the same regard as congressmen and lobbyists and judges and lawyers. We look at it like everything is supposed to be fair game, but the fact is the minutiae and that gray area is where things happen, the room where it happens, right?
Sometimes it happens like this. So one of my first job, I worked for this guy that was a former judge. And he'd been a judge for years and years and years, and had been in private practice for a while. And when he was a judge, he was a hard ass. And I became friends with somebody that managed his first campaign. And he would tell me, he would go in front of my boss when he was judge, and my boss would ream him and was just extra tough on him. And it was almost like compensating because he didn't want any appearance of any impropriety.
Sure,
he didn't
want
to look like there was any favoritism. So, but we expect that people can hold themselves out in a professional way and be objective in some ways and make decisions according to the law, not according to professional relationships. Now, granted, if you've got a rapport with the judge and a reputation and you have, earned their respect, and it's your word against an attorney's word who maybe has not handled themselves in that way and doesn't have a good reputation, well, then you're going to get the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I remember when
everything else is even.
I remember sitting in that room, Stephen, and he was like, huh, not in the exact words, but I'm good thing I donated to this judge's campaign the last time. It was something like that. And then in front of the judge, he passive-aggressively mentioned it. I know you have had a strong, and I really appreciate your last, I was like, oh my gosh. And there is no doubt he saved my ass.
It's like Law and Order.
But a longer, more hard, challenging, because Law and Order, you're up and done in 47 minutes. A trial can last for years.
Unless Ice-T gets on the stand.
Has there ever been a push, though, to say, hey, listen, the judges and the attorneys should not be fraternizing because there's the appearance
it's
of...
It's impossible. I mean, like I said, I've gone to law school with some judges that are sitting on the bench now. I've worked my way through, when I was president of the bar, I worked my way through, being involved with the bar and got to know these people when I was younger in my career. And it would be impossible for that to happen because you want people that are involved in the community. You want people that are talented and smart to wind up being judges. And we all work together.
I was just shocked. It was this attorney was throwing the party, and there must have been three different judges there. And they're all drinking and high-fiving, and I'm like, it seems inappropriate.
We're all humans too, and they have a very rigorous set of judicial canons. They have a lot of restrictions, and the reality is, I don't want anybody to throw their career under the bus for a case, and they don't want to throw their career under the bus for a case. So everybody handles themselves, according to the way that they should. And does it mean that, is it good to have a rapport with a judge? Absolutely. Is it good to know judges? Absolutely. But, it's
not a bought-off judge like the mafia back in the day where you'd walk in the room and be like, no, you're good.
You can't. I mean, A, it would be unethical, and B, you got a lot of eyes on you. You've got court reporters. You got everybody else
and
in that
courtroom.
And
stipulations and things that you have to buy, laws that you have to follow.
Yeah, but I mean, the answer is I love being in court, but a lot of litigants don't. In fact, it's probably one of the most stressful things for people is the idea of having to go to court or idea of taking a chance at trial.
Yeah.
Because I could feel great about a case. I can believe the case is 100% winner. But that doesn't necessarily put my client at ease.
As an attorney, do you feel when you're presenting your case and you're presenting it to a jury, do you think that you got to try to make them laugh a little bit and use humor to get your point across? Or is it all very serious?
I think it's about establishing a rapport and earning that credibility. And certainly charisma and likability is a big benefit in front of a jury. Right, and it's the same thing.
But jokes go sideways quick.
Well, you better be confident in your comic timing. Let's just say you better be good at it.
I was surprised.
And it is a great tool for people that are good at it. Anyway.
I was surprised by the amount of humor that tries to happen in a courtroom when I would start going and sitting in on stuff. And like the last time I got called in for jury duty was for like a murder trial. And it was just the jury thing. And it was... And the jokes from everybody flying around the room.
Well, and
it was like open mic night at the courthouse.
And the gravitas of the case also has something to do with it, too. You know, it depends. And every case should be treated seriously. But there have to be moments of lightness, even in the moments of despair. That's part of our mechanisms as human beings to cope. And therefore, you know, you hear those awkward laughs, those nervous laughs, and jokes are just they're part of the process, because that's how when you're dealing with really serious subject matter, you have to laugh.
Yeah, you have to. Well, you hear more jokes at a funeral than most places. That, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, you hear them there a lot.
Exactly. It's what gets us through those moments. So just do it well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Stephen Kramer, onefirmforlife.com. That's onefirmforlife.com. Thank you, Stephen Kramer. Appreciate it, buddy. All right, Doug, when we come back, it's time for Carlos. Take it to the top. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Online at realradio.fm. On your phone with the free iHeartRadio app. And on your smart speaker. Hey, Google, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
I would be happy to.
Listening to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. We are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio, and you can always check it out on our YouTube channel. It's Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. Okay, we have almost 13,000 subscribers. We'd love for you to be next, so click on there and subscribe to the channel, and you can check it out every day. And our website is monsters.fm. There's new stuff on the website all the time. I've had some accent lighting put in the house this weekend, and you can check out the some say I went overboard, but not me.
I like that.
I say it's just enough accent lighting.
I like that the website has moved from you posting pictures of scantily clad ladies,
naked women,
to just country tables and accent lights.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you what,
it's working.
It gets more clicks. So you know, whatever gets clicks, I don't care. Check it out at go to monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins, along with Angel and Ryan Holmes. Savannah's here today, and now it's time for Carlos to take it to the top.
Let's go. Bang! Cookie. Good morning, everybody. Hello. My name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, trying to take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today is no different. Today is a lovely Monday. Did you wake up on the good side of the bed?
Yeah, man.
I'm glad you did. If you didn't, time to reset it. It's only 9:21. Your day has not really started yet. Maybe you're just waking up. Maybe you're just in your first hour, first cup of coffee, whatever it is. If you haven't started the right way, hit the reset. You can do it. It's brought to you by Bill Ray Nissan. You just heard. You can get $9,000 off of Maxima 2018 Maxima. Leather seats, Bluetooth. $9,000, folks. $9,000. You support To The Top. You support me. Go to Bill Ray Nissan. Check them out at BillRayNissan.com. Oh, you like that? On the beat. Man, had an awesome weekend. Just a lovely weekend of spending time with my family at the house, trying to make it better, trying to grow and learn. I went to, on Friday, the Magic game.
Yeah, you were excited about that. And they gave you the tickets.
They gave me the tickets.
Just because they were following your Instagram.
They show how much love I show. I realized they weren't giving out those tickets to a lot of people. I was very fortunate.
They love you.
I think they did, Savannah. I think they did. So I want to thank the Orlando Magic for hooking my daughter and I up to going to our first playoff game. Regardless. Or how a lot of players say, irregardless. that they lost.
Yeah, that sucks. But
the atmosphere.
We still have two more chances, right?
The people there.
One more chance.
We got to win tomorrow night.
It was unlike anything my daughter had ever seen. And she was so happy to be there. And we were screaming and yelling.
Loudest crowd.
Loudest crowd I've ever heard. Like, and I've been to a lot of stuff. And at the end, I mean, we had a shot, Angel. You know, we had that. We missed an offensive rebound that cost us that game. But it was, I mean, I get nervous playing basketball in front of people. There, I said, okay, if I was going to play in a gym, I mean, I haven't played in a long ass time, I'm sure.
Dude, but you're like a baller.
I'm a shot caller. I got 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Wow.
But it's a nerve-wracking thing. There's a lot of things that I don't get nervous for. I think if I played now, I'd have a better confidence about myself. But when I was younger, I definitely got nervous. You're performing. It's a different level of performance. And when you're not as good as the people around you like I was with basketball.
Dude, I feel you. I went to basketball camp, and my basketball camp nickname was Dookie. So it was not fun.
Why did they call you Dookie?
Because I was that bad at basketball.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Well, Ryan, now.
Can you just be Dookie forever? Dookie.
I think Dookie is much better than the King of Denmark.
I actually had a cousin named Dookie. Dookie. I swear to God.
I actually know a couple Dookies.
Yeah.
But,
in APK. I don't know why anyone would do that.
A lot of Dookies in APK. you can go to any gift shop at APK. You can find any little Dookie. Name tag.
Literally, that's the worst nickname you can give somebody.
No, my cousin Dickie's way worse.
Dickie?
Yeah, Dickie. His name's Richard. It's like it's a Massachusetts. Like
it's little
Dickie over there.
Dickie's not bad. Dickie, I think of the overalls. You know, the Dickies. But Dookie.
Dookie's pretty bad.
It just brings one thing to mind.
You know.
But I think even at the level that the Orlando Magic players are, we're the highest level of basketball. I think they get nervous too. Angel,
you're
the only one who's played professional sports here. When the arena was so loud for these last 30, 45 seconds, whatever it was, I couldn't hear myself scream. And they're dribbling the ball and trying to make plays. We take it for granted because we just assume these athletes, well, they get paid so much, they shouldn't be nervous, they shouldn't be anything. Well, they do, and I think it affected them. I think they're like, we've never heard the arena this loud. I mean, you're going from playing in an arena that is okay at times, and sure, it gets a little raucous at times.
Well, they're used to playing a half-empty arena.
Well, you know, they fill it up, but not as a crazy, wild, loud. Yeah. That I mean,
well, point being, it's a difference in playoff basketball. Period.
100%.
You are, you know, there's only a few teams still playing. The Magic haven't been in the playoffs for quite some time. The fan base has been starving for this.
Yes.
They want this. We get our first two playoff home games. Of course, everyone's ready. I mean, everybody was geared up. Everybody had the blue and black on. They were ready for it. So they wanted that.
The city was so happy. Linda Miller, have you ever been to a real NBA playoff game? Linda Miller.
Thank you for calling on me, Carlos. No I was problem. just want to contribute a little bit and tell you I was actually at the game. I was covering it for ESPN4.
Damn, and, I didn't know that. All women's all the time.
All women's all the time. But I did go out to the Magic game, saw you and your daughter. She's absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thanks,
it was
Linda.
My pleasure. But I was underneath the bleachers waiting to go out on the field to do my interviews, and it was so loud in there, it threw my popcorn right out on the floor. Back to you, Carlos.
That was you? My Linda LM, always causing havoc on the sidelines. Good to hear from you. I think the sports jinx is back. You know it's bad when you have people randomly tweeting you, are you at the game?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they want to know where you're at.
They want to know
where. Are you watching the game?
Are you watching the game?
And I had people hit me up. Do you know Carlos is watching the game? No, I don't know.
And it doesn't help that I proclaimed I was not the sports jinx, and I gave it to Drake. But Drake seems to be doing well.
Yeah, he's killing it right now.
He's killing it. Top name in the game, Drake. But, hey, Magic, I still got your back. I think ultimately you just really faced a powerhouse. And good luck. I hope you can win the game and bring it back to Orlando.
I mean, it's possible. You know?
A lot of things are possible, Russ.
Against all odds, they're going to go to
Toronto. Which is...
Toronto.
Arguably the craziest arena to play in. Argue that, and I would say Portland, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean,
why?
That's
why.
What?
Loud. Why? Because it's loud?
Oh, yeah. They love their basketball in Toronto. They not only that, they pack the outside of the stadium with tens of thousands of people lining it, and they just scream, "We the North," the whole time.
I will tell you
that's
this.
Awesome.
And this
is cool.
I'm going to give a huge shout out to the UK Orlando Magic fans. UK Orlando Magic showed up and represented. We did the street party on Friday, and that was about 50% of the people that were at Harry Buffalo, UK fans that had come over specifically for this.
Are you serious?
A lot of British, because they come over here, they travel, they come to Orlando.
But, I mean,
Brits love Orlando, and then
But these were straight up Magic fans. They had their jerseys, they had their stuff, they were ready. They came for this weekend. I got to meet a handful of them. They were there for both games. They were really wanting a victory. I never realized how strong Magic.
Well, we love you, Magic. That's what we like. Yeah. We like to go to the games and we drink a beer.
Really?
British Savannah.
I was at the game, Carlos.
Why didn't you? Did you spill the popcorn?
I didn't spill my popcorn. I saw you, Linda Miller. I punched her in the face.
Whoa! British Savannah. Hey, British Ryan.
We've got basketball hooligans, don't we? Yeah. So we bring her. We got to keep an eye on her because if you take one eye off, punch a reporter right in the face.
Why don't you tell your little fancy trick over there to have a seat while you're doing your segment?
So much was happening, Russ. So I didn't even know. I was so focused on the game that it did not win.
You didn't know there were so many British people there.
I didn't know. I could have thought that you guys are. I love British people.
What do the British people love about basketball?
The bouncing mostly.
We like the eating. We like the eating and you're drinking.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
A jolly good time.
Not to mention the color blues on your Majesty's Princess crown.
That's an excellent point, the Majesty's Princess crown. Everybody knows blue is the main color.
What the?
Savannah, thank you. Bruce Savannah, thank you. British Ryan, thank you. Moving on. It's Earth Day today.
Is it?
It is Earth Day today, right? Woo! Today is Earth Day, right?
It is Earth Day, yes.
Yeah. And I am practicing. What are you doing for Earth Day? I am doing this. I'm going to not throw litter out of the door.
You do that every day.
No, I don't. I stopped littering.
You're a litter bug.
No, I stopped littering when I was like 13.
That's too long.
I know. I had a good run.
Those are the years that you're learning not to litter. Is the time you're rebelling by littering.
No,
you didn't give any hoots.
I didn't. Nah, I did not give a hoot. I pollute, but not now. I now am a man who collects the plastic bags that normally you throw away those plastic bags.
No, I do not. I'm really good about recycling those. That's the
Russ. Do you throw away your plastic bags? Be honest. You're looking up, which means you're trying to think of a different answer. You do throw them away.
I do throw them away.
In France, you go to jail.
I did plant 15 trees this weekend. So
but they're in your house, okay? So you're breathing up all that oxygen. Okay,
yeah, you're using a lot of
oxygen. Okay?
Yeah. You're breathing
heavy these days.
But planting trees is good.
You know what? There's a fascinating dude in India. Indians love planting some trees, man. They planted, like, they break the record every year of how many trees are planted. Like, 100,000 Indians can plant, like, 1 million trees in one day.
100,000 Indians.
Look it up. Look it up. I don't know
like
the guy's name.
Trees. Okay.
But he literally started with like what seemed to be like a desert, and then every day he started.
Yeah, I've seen this.
You mean like Johnny Appleseed? Like the guy that
Johnny Appleseed.
Basically terraforming a desert.
Yeah, Johnny Tikka Masala. That is the man. I don't know the full story, but I was inspired by the gentleman. So I'm going to plant a tree today.
Are you?
Sure.
That's awesome.
Plant a tree. That's good.
Hey, Slumbag. Hey, let me slide in here and tell you plant this tree, Carlos.
Slumbag Sally.
Hey, I'll plant one on you on Savannah Day. When is Savannah Day?
It's every day.
Every day, bitches.
Every day, Savannah Day.
But it is Earth Day, and... you know, think about our Earth here. Earth is 4.6 billion years old, something like that.
Fake news.
Fake news.
6,000.
it's a good thing. It's the most celebrated it's the most celebrated secular holiday in the world.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Earth Day.
Yeah, Earth Day. I remember it was kind of a joke for a little bit. Like,
oh, for sure.
Remember that? Like horrific. We're like, we need to do anything for the Earth.
Yeah.
Earth is fine. Earth is fine.
Growing up, it was a silly thing.
In the 80s, Earth was fine.
Yeah, everything was a little looser-y.
I remember all the science books were like, oh, it's eventually going to get bad, but not during your lifetime.
Yeah, I remember when they tried to make it a big deal, and they made a cartoon about
Captain Planet.
Captain Planet.
Yeah. Kids had the power of water. They had the power of...
Heart for no reason. He could sort of...
You guys remember, look, the way that you guys both affectionately said Captain Planet at the same time was very, it means it was a very joyous moment.
It was.
Meanwhile,
Russ is snickering the whole time.
That's stupid. That's not a, that's not a that's hero.
That's not a superhero.
Not a superhero. That was a ripoff hero.
Man, no, okay, the Planeteers would whoop Batman's ass.
Oh, my God. All day long.
Straight up.
I'm not even going to talk to you about
Batman,
that.
Batman. They spray him with water. That's they
so turn. Oh, you get a wet Batman. You can't stand
bats
straight.
Yeah, bats can't get wet. Bats aren't swimmers.
They turn Batman into a recycling bin. You just...
Batman, the Batmobile pollutes. You know how much gas jet that thing engine? Uses? Good. A jet engine in a car that is not very economic.
Nuclear fusion.
Yep.
Carbon bat print.
Yeah, man.
A lot of lithium batteries in that equipment.
Earth Day. Celebrate it. That's not my motivation.
Do
minimum.
It!
Earth Day. It's on.
It's the only Earth we have. But we're scrambling to find another planet we can go to.
We're trying to go to Mars.
Because we're really messing this one up.
It is crazy. I think we can. In all honesty, I do think that the amazing amount of technology and AI, the artificial intelligence, we're not smart enough yet to figure out how to fix it. I do think that we will solve those issues. And somebody will get very rich off of it.
Well, look, Savannah, I don't know if you realize it was Earth Day, but you know, earlier you were talking about how when you went to Jamaica and one of the areas that you went to go check out or whatever, it was littered with litter.
The thing is, like, it's not just Jamaica's litter. It's litter from all around the world.
So it came from the ocean.
It's plastic bottles from all around the world that even if we cleaned up, would be back there again in a month.
And they gather on a particular beach in Jamaica?
It's the current.
And there's actually three or four spots in the world that it accumulates like a drain. And I think we can be fixed. I really do. I have full faith in humanity that somebody will... and there are people working on it now. This 4C bracelet, this 4Ocean thing that I'm wearing right now that I never take off. Yeah. Motivates me not to litter. You know, so I was at the beach the other day. And give me a little second for Motivational Minute. Ready? Motivational Minute is this. All right? And I've said this before, but every time I hear this from somebody else, it always sticks with me. And really is this. Be the thermostat. Okay? Not the thermometer. What does that mean? In life, a lot of times, we will change how we feel when we enter a situation. For example, think about when you walk into a room. Do you change the energy in the room, or does the energy change you? Think about that. When you get home from work and you walk into your home, do you immediately shift to that energy, or are you the thermostat and you go, what energy do we need to set this at right now? It makes a lot of sense because, by and large, most of us are the thermostat. And this situation we get into, oh, we're going to get heated here. Oh, this situation, we're sad, we're going to go down here. But a lot of times, if you have the peace of mind, the actual moment to go, wait a second, I shouldn't be doing what everybody else is here. You're the thermostat. You'll be the one setting the tone. And other people will follow. Today, be the thermostat. Not the thermometer. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right, you're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Hey, I want to thank Jeff Kaufman and Kaufman and Lynn and Big City Comics. That's both of his companies. And he bought out an entire movie theater. And some listeners are going to be able to go and join us on Thursday night for Avengers Endgame. It's a big movie. I mean,
I haven't even heard of it.
Yeah, pretty big movie.
Yeah,
and it's
a lot of demand for this thing.
Thursday night at Cinopolis, which is one of our sponsors, is one of the best movie theaters you'll ever check out. And food is included, food and drinks included on Thursday
now
night.
Now that is the deal right there. Because movie ticket alone are a big deal, but you include food and drink at a Cinopolis.
I know, he did. So if you want to win that, you want to be maybe show up here as nerdy as you can on Wednesday when we do the nerdy news around 9 o'clock. Or so, and he's going to pick five people to and you'll get a pair of tickets to go with us. So that's coming this Thursday. It's Avengers Endgame. That's a pretty big deal.
I'm really excited about it, man.
The movie is getting a lot of buzz. I mean, it's already
I've been bobbing sold. And weaving trailers and sneak peeks and everything. Like I was watching The Simpsons last night, and all of a sudden, sneak peek to New Avengers. I'm like, get that out of here.
Yeah, I saw a New Avengers trailer. It was cool. It was good.
And that's what happens when. When, Disney buys Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Think about that, right?
On Fox with The Simpsons.
That's not happened before. I mean, they would have had to buy that time, but now they're like, oh, yeah, one of the, you know.
Hey, I heard you talking to Savannah. I know she's been out of the country, so she hasn't been keeping up on things. And I heard you talking to her about Britney Spears.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of her getting out of the mental institution. Oh, Britney.
You know what I find funny, though, is that before this, before she got out, about a week ago or whatever, the news was out that she was in this mental institution, and there were people already going, free Britney, let Britney out, without knowing the entire situation.
I did a story.
They don't know what's going on. They don't know what the real deal is, you know, and I mean, she could have...
So why is she in there? Tell me what happened, because I don't know.
She's lost her mind a couple times. She's had mental issues before.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I work really hard, and I'm pretty much always tired, right?
Okay.
And I'm pretty much always just about to snap, but not snapping, right? And it happens to a lot of people that are forward-focused, and that's what their life is and everything like that. Now, imagine this little girl from Louisiana that never even graduated from high school, and from the time she was, like, what, 14, 13?
I think younger.
She was a big-time superstar, and before that, she was on
With the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah. So all of her life, she hasn't had control of. She doesn't have a great education. Everybody around her is a yes person. No one's ever told her no to anything. And she works all the time, right? Mm-hmm. She's always forward focused, taking care of her kids, doing all the things. There's no... She would have to snap. Like, it's too much pressure for someone like that. Well, it just is.
I think everybody is different. And maybe for her particular, that particular person, it might be too much. Who knows? But
I always go back to that time we were at Johnny Wright's house and she was walking around barefooted in a pair of Daisy Dukes.
Yeah.
And she's just a little girl.
From Louisiana.
And just like when there's trauma in your life and your development gets arrested, I'm pretty sure hers has been too.
Yeah, I don't question that. I think she is having some issues that need dealt with. I just find it funny that people want to jump on the side of, let her free, let her go. You guys are holding her under her, against her will. Well, you know what?
It was voluntary.
Most of you don't know what's going on, and maybe she really needs the help, you know?
I'm sure she does. And you know, Savannah, you're talking about I think she was like that at a certain point in her life where she was pushing and doing stuff. I think almost now she's got the opposite, which is this very placated, contrived, put everything together for you. Because she doesn't seem, when you see her, you know, you've seen it.
I've been watching her Instagram, and I watch it all the time, and when I see her doing her little dances and stuff at her house, I'm always like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, it's funny and it's cute and I get it, but there's always something off about it. Like I was
this
just,
is all
you know what? And I'll break it down even more to you. I feel like I have a bunch of friends, right? Mm-hmm. This might make me cry.
Good. It's good.
I feel like I have a bunch of friends. And I feel like I just did some amazing work in Jamaica. But when I got off the airplane and I was coming back to here, no one's waiting for me at the airport. No one's there to say, hey, Savannah, I'm so glad you're home. No one, with the exception of one person, messaged me and said, I'm so glad you're home. So in that realm, and as high up as she is and what she's doing, like, I can't imagine that in the midst of all of that, she doesn't feel the same way lonely.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, she's afforded different luxuries, like going to a mental health facility, that other people aren't. But I just love her so much, and I just hate to see her struggle. And every time I see it, it hurts my
heart. You know, she's so lucky. She's a star, but she cries, cries with her lonely heart.
Don't make a joke about that, because it's absolutely true. It is absolutely true.
What is?
That she's cries in her lonely heart. Otherwise, she wouldn't be in her house singing and dancing by herself, Garlo.
Well, you're talking by yourself.
There's a fight between, like, I guess her dad.
And I'm crying.
And her dad, I guess, has control over what she's doing. And then her mom, who does not have control over what she's doing. And so her mom was going on social media making...
But isn't that the issue, though? Her dad's health is failing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, that's where it jumped from.
So there's looks like it's an active kind of behind-the-scenes war of who's going to control her.
Yeah.
And her mom is the one that's really, kind of brought more attention to this as of late.
Yes. Which doesn't make things better. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of she's not making things better by going to social media.
And what was that must make you feel like, right? Like, you're in the middle of this, and you're like, I'm just this commodity. I'm a commodity. Yeah. I'm literally looked at, and my mom looks at me like, I'm sure she has the belief and trust, but when the majority of people look at you, you're like, oh, this is a $100 million machine.
But here's the thing. And who do you think when she's crying in the lonely night,
yeah,
and there is no one around, and everyone that is around that's that close to her is making a profit off of her, who do you think she can only talk to that support her and love her?
She's a slave for them.
Exactly. But they're the people that are saying, we love you, Brittany. We want you to do better. We want you to do great. We're so glad you're home. We're so glad you're out.
And they're like, give me more. Give me more.
What's just funny is that people are treating the facility like they are the bad guys, or like they are doing something horrible by keeping her.
Say goodnight to the bad guy.
And they actually might be helping her, guys. That's what is happening. Yeah, she might need that help. And I don't think
it's this, like, let's shove Brittany in here because we want to keep her away. But I think she does really need the help.
You have seen, though, the people that have the shirts that say, you know, a free Brittany.
I screamed it in my story the other day. I stood in front of a Brittany poster and I said, free Brittany. It was just like a symbolic gesture.
They think that they have her, like, you know, like a prisoner in some place and she can't get out.
She's had to go to rehab before and oops, she did it again. Like, that is the thing. And people just need to understand mental health is important.
Yes,
She needs a lizard. I think she needs something of her own. You know, like, because she really doesn't have one thing that's her own.
Is she married now? Or
she has a boyfriend.
Super hot, super sexy boyfriend. So that's good. He's very in shape.
But again, if she was still this little redneck piece of white trash from Louisiana that didn't have all this money, would super sexy, super rich boyfriend be with her? Absolutely not.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Absolutely not.
You don't think?
It's Brittany, bitch. I mean, come on.
I love her so much. Bless her little heart.
Hey, so I didn't see the photo. There's photos of her.
It's not a really good look.
Yeah. No.
And again, I think this is the reason why you're getting people reacting so much. Because over time, we've become more familiar what that look is of someone in the deer in the headlights, kind of glazed, kind of heavily medicated, kind of heavily sedated.
Yeah.
We're way too familiar with what that looks like, especially when it's a Hollywood celebrity.
Sure.
It reminds people of Anna Nicole Smith, the way that she was in those years, where she was into this... You know, you're looking at her and she's doing these funny things, but you know, the lights are on.
That's what the train's not there.
You know what I mean?
That is what I've heard more than anything else is that she reminds people of Anna Nicole Smith. I'm like, wow, that's a bad path.
I don't think they mean it like she's fat.
No.
I'm talking about that we
are the y'all calling me fat? Is that what y'all are trying to do?
That's why I don't like y'all.
The fan base is reacting that way because they feel like she is, you know, all these people that are around her are trying to do right by her, but she still looks helpless.
Well, that's because she's not a girl, but she's not yet a woman.
That's an excellent point, Ryan. Thank you. I've been racking my brain here. I know you have
too. Come on, you guys.
Look, you know what? She's getting stronger every day. Okay?
It's just a circus.
When's the last album she had? Like, it's been a while, right?
She had a single
with G-Eazy.
Oh, she did?
Just recently, yeah.
Remember when she did that song with Iggy Azalea?
Yeah, that was a mess.
You know what? I don't think it was that bad.
It was a hot mess.
What happened to Iggy?
Brittany and Iggy did a song together, and it was so good.
She's a bikini model now.
She has shifted over to being one of the best Instagram models I've ever seen.
I don't think she's recorded anything in quite some time.
Label issues.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, so you know now she just takes half-nude photos on Instagram.
God bless you, Brittany. God bless you, baby girl. I love you so much.
You can live with me and my lizards if you need it. You know what makes you feel better? Dance, go in front of that mirror naked.
You know what they
and
had?
You dance back and forth. Look at your little iguana.
Hey, look at me.
Cause I'm naked.
You know what they had the other day on the news? Remember the guy that did the thing? Leave Brittany alone.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that dude's doing now?
That dude now, it's like 10 years later, 15 years later, whatever it is. And he's like, I don't know, he's a model? Yeah.
He is super popular. He is literally the first viral guy. I think he's the first real viral sensation. Leave Brittany alone. His name is Chris something. Yeah, Chris Cormer.
He did not look like a mess. He looked like he was doing okay. Yeah.
The dude is a big social media star now. Yeah. Big social media and ripped as hell. Looks nothing like him under that blanket. When he was being as dead serious as possible.
He's screaming, leave Brittany
alone.
And
he still loves Brittany, which is how a Brittany fan should be.
Yeah.
You should never leave her side.
Well, they talked him into doing it again, like yelling, leave Brittany alone, you know. But he looked different.
What can we do? How can we help her? Like, how can we possibly help her?
You know what? I don't know.
Like, so. I feel, you know... I relate to her so much.
You think?
Like being in prison of your own making and self. Like, mm-hmm. I do. And I just want to save her so much.
So you're Orlando's Britney Spears.
No, that's not what I said. Oh. I just said I relate. That's not what I said.
Yeah. No. Is that what you're thinking, though?
I got all these zoos and I got all these places coming at me. Like, come here, come here. I'm like, I'm an independent woman. Yeah.
The Britney Spears of reptiles.
I am. Call me Brittany Gator.
Brittany Gator, okay. All right, now, your chance to win $1,000.
Don't hold it against her.
Nice, Angel. Thank you for coming in and putting the lid on that.
Hit me, baby, one more
time. You know what? If you see Gamey, that's what you get.
It's coming here now. All you got to do is listen for the keyword and text it to 200-200. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. So come here, a little closer.
Jamaica. Let's get some gators.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio. Real Radio.
Remember, if you want to be a part of Endgame. Avengers Endgame this Thursday. Come dress up Wednesday as your favorite nerdy character, and you can win tickets to watch it with us. We're going to have our own theater out at Cinopolis, thanks to Jeff Kaufman and the Nerdy News. So, yeah, we appreciate that. And remember, as far as winning the $1,000, you have all day long here on Real Radio 104.1 to give it a shot. You just text the keyword, and it's right through the News Junkie, right through the Jim Colbert Show, through Tom and Dan, and we want you to stick around and listen to Real Laughs with our buddies, the Monster Comics. And you've got a big show this Saturday with a lot of the guys from Real Laughs, right?
Yes, I do.
And also Ross Pageant.
Ross Pageant, yeah. WinterHavenLaughs.com. That's how you get your tickets. If you're out in that area, even if you're not out in that area, people told me they're driving as much as an hour to come see that show.
Wow.
So that'll be a lot of fun.
It's Winter Haven, right?
Winter Haven, yes. Yeah. So many winter places.
Have you been to Winter Haven before?
I have not. Honestly, I thought it was Winter Garden when I signed up for the show.
Yeah. So yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
I got a little bit confused there, but that's fine.
It happens. Really nice area, though.
It is.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
You will have fun. Hey, so if you want to email me, you always can, russ@wtcast.com. And if your email makes it on the air, we'll give you a prize from the prize pinata. So this is Steve, and Steve's going to get a prize for sending this email. And I'm curious of what you guys say about this, because it's one of those things where, like, you go, oh, yeah, and you kind of answer it real quick, but then you think about it, there's a lot more involved. This is from Steve. And once again, to email me, it's russ@wtcast.com. Hey, guys, this is Steve, been a longtime listener of the show, big fan. I listen to you every morning when I bring my son Jackson to school. Jackson is 8. He's the reason I'm emailing you. He's 8 years old, and his mom and I share custody with him. He spent Easter with her this year, and she recently became a bit of a health nut, which is driving him and me a little bit crazy. I don't get it, but she's a health nut now. She wasn't before. When she gave him his Easter basket, everything was sugar-free. It was all sugar-free treats. He really was disappointed. Do you think I should get him a basket full of junk when he gets home from school today, like the good candy? I hate telling him to lie to his mom, but I thought that it could be our little secret. And this is a guy named Steve. So basically, a mom decided to go, you know, healthy and gave 8-year-old Jackson a bunch of Easter candy that was all sugar free. And he's wondering if he should flip the script today when Jackson gets home.
He's got to be careful with that.
Yeah,
you said. I mean, I know he's got probably really good intentions, and he wants his kid to have sugar and everything. But you got to be careful, because the kind of message that you're sending subliminally to your kid about going around the back of his mom.
Yeah,
you guys are in a cool. It seems like you're in a cool co-parenting situation, and something small like this ends up being, turns into a big thing down the road.
So since mom has decided to give Jackson sugar-free candies, then you should do the same thing at your house.
No, no, no. Actually have the conversation with mom. Say, hey, listen, I know you guys got him that, but you need to have that conversation with mom. Say, hey, I'm not going to go overboard, but I'm going to give him just some regular candies. Mom and dad, you guys are communicating. You need to talk, but let the kids see that. Let them see that, hey, we can discuss this and do this. You start doing sneaky things and say, don't tell mom this. Don't. And
you should never do
in
that.
In a co-parenting situation, that's not that. Those are bad precedents to kind of show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's just my own. Because being in that situation, me personally right now, I just, you know, I'm very careful about that. I over-communicate, I think, to that or to a fault, you know, just so that nothing comes off kind of shady.
I don't think you can over-communicate that. I think that's a great idea. And, yeah, you shouldn't. I don't think you should ask your son to... to, you know, not tell mom or anything like that. That puts an 8-year-old in the back. And an 8-year-old is going to spill the beans anyway. You can ask all you want. Hey, don't tell mom. And it'll be the first thing you'll say. Hey, guess what, mom? Dad told me not to tell you. I had a great, a really awesome chocolate bunny, and you didn't give me anything good. You know, like the kid's going to spill the beans.
I remember the first time I went from one parent to the other parent, and that was enough for me to never do it again, though.
Why? Like, what happened?
Because, well, because my dad... wasn't the main parent in my life.
Yeah.
And I just get away with murder.
Right, right.
And then stuff that I knew my mom said I couldn't do, I'd go to my dad and be like, yeah, it's fine, it's totally fine, I can definitely do this. And my mom found out one time, and the hammer of justice was brought down on little old King of Denmark, and it was, I never did it again. Never thought about doing
was
it again.
Was it swift?
It was very swift. My mom was a very no-nonsense when it came to parenting.
Yeah.
So... I don't have kids, which is unfortunate.
Hey,
because I don't think I can. But if I did, it's the weak genetics.
The co-parenting thing is difficult. And then I'm sure, Angel, you've had some times where you disagree about the way some things should go down with your, you know, with your ex.
I'll say this, and her mom and I've talked about this. And it's the way that it's shaped out to be. I've become the heavy. It's a role that I wasn't looking for, but because...
And it's not a fun role
to
have.
No, it's not, because you want to be the dad that gives all the sugar candy. You want to be the dad that, you know, it gets to, you know, take them to fast food all the time and everything. But unfortunately, not unfortunately like in a bad way, but what has happened is I'm the one that has to kind of level all that stuff off, because she's really lucky. She's got, you know, three sets of grandparents. She got all this extra family.
Yeah.
And she knows how to play them.
right.
So she knows how to, you know, do that, because she's a sweetheart of a kid. So that when she comes around with me, it's like, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. We're going to do this, you know, that kind of thing.
With co-parenting, the only thing I could think of that was an issue that where I disagreed with my ex or whatever, it was the about defending yourself. You know, when Ryan was a boy, and it was like, well, if someone's picking on you, his mom would say, "Oh, go to run to the teacher and tell the teacher." And you know, that's not the way I was brought up. If someone's hitting you or picking, you know, you defend yourself. If a bully's picking on you, you defend yourself. So that's one of the things that we disagreed about quite a bit. But other than that, I didn't have any issues that were like this. But this, you know, with candy, like you say, is a small thing, yeah, but it could end up being a big fight if you don't talk to her about it.
Yeah, talk to the. I mean, you're the adult. Talk to the other adult and come to, you know, an accord.
Yeah. Yeah, don't you both have to agree first on the no sugar policy before it comes to this? Like,
well, I think a mom could feel like, hey, look, this is my house, this is what we're doing in my house, and not, it doesn't have to happen. Like she says, listen, if you want to give, she could say this, if you want to give him candy at your house, that's fine, but not, we're not doing that here.
Mm. That's in and of itself could send a mixed message, but sugar-free candy in general... it's kind of worse for you than the regular candy. So
yeah. Carlos, what do you tell Steve?
Man, you're missing out on the biggest opportunity to be the coolest dad ever. Screw mom. You know what I tell little Jackson? I'm sorry, Jackson. Your mom had a big old ass when she was together with me, and she was eating all the sugar. All the sugar. She was eating the sugar, the gluten, the wheat, the nuts, the barley. All of it. And now she wants to be Miss Healthy, sugar-free candy. No.
Here's some Rolos. Here's some Hershey's.
Don't tell your mama.
Don't tell your mama. She doesn't tell her to come to me. She don't like talking to me anyway. Okay? And we got a video game in the back. I'm buying a skee ball machine. I'm going to Universal.
Yeah. You're the cool parent.
Did you guys have ever have the issue where it was like, don't tell your mom? Here's this. Don't tell your mom.
No, it wasn't like that. No,
I did. But mine was with, if I'd go with my dad, and I would go to the Publix, and we would get pepper loaf. Pepper loaf was something they used to sell at Publix, and you could roll it up and eat. It was like ham.
It was like
or
horse meat.
No, it was like ham or something.
They don't sell it anymore.
Yes.
And mom would tell us to pick up pepper loaf, and we would like take some of it. And my dad would say, "Don't tell your mom. Don't tell." Of course, the first thing I would say when I walk in a house, mom, guess what we didn't have?
A little snitch cop.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly.
Mine was less cute than that. It was like my dad would bring me to a pool hall for like 5 hours.
Don't tell your mom.
It's like, don't tell your mom. Yeah.
So, sit here.
That's okay. A little more serious, I think. Yeah,
a little bit. How but your pepper you? Loaf kids always cute. I don't know, from 4 to 12.
Don't tell your mom. Or at George's Hideaway.
Exactly.
How about my daddy would go to Speedway, and there's a bar next door, and then they'd put me outside the car and roll the window up with my hair, with my ponytail in the window, right?
Yeah.
Roll it up.
Uh-huh.
So I'd have to stand outside by the car. I couldn't go nowhere and play or nothing. Then I'd just have to stand there because I couldn't move.
Oh, my
hair
God.
Was in the window rolled up. Till whenever him and his friend Will finished drinking, then they would come let me back out. People just walk by and they'd be like, "How you doing, Savannah? I'm good. Can you unlock this window?" Your daddy don't want to.
Now we put.
Would your daddy say, "Don't tell your mama"?
Yeah. She'd have been mad if I messed my hair up. I was a pageant girl.
Yeah. That's what it would be. It would be you were locked in. It'd be the hair messed up.
The hair.
Wow.
The hair.
Yeah, asking your kid to keep something a secret, I think, is a problem.
But Easter, that's such a, I mean, I get it. Sugar's super bad. It's the worst thing for you. But, like, Easter is the day you get
it's
Easter.
It's the cheat day of the year.
You get Christmas. You get Halloween. These are, if the kid doesn't know any difference.
Well,
I mean,
he says he was really disappointed.
Of course, because sugar-free candy tastes like crap.
Yeah, and gives anal leakage.
And it gives you, like, that stuff they, what is it, maldextrose or something like that, that's in there. It makes
maldextrose,
you.
Is that a Snow White villain?
Yeah, he plays for the Jets. He's a linebacker.
Get off the poach.
That stuff makes you go poo. One time, I had so much sugar-free chocolate that I thought I was having a heart attack, and I actually was going to the emergency room, but it was gas.
Okay. Well. All right, well, Steve.
Strong sugar-free gas in my belly, my bowels.
Steve, I think what we're saying is you need to talk to your baby mama and see if she's going to be upset if you give him a little bit of candy and say, listen, I know you're into that. Do you mind if I give him a little bit of candy? And talk to her, because you don't need to start a big fight about something as silly as candy.
Yeah.
Agreed?
I agree.
All right. That's Steve. We'll send you something from the prize pinata, buddy. If you want to email me, if you've got any questions, you want us to handle it, it's russ@wtks.com. And when we come back, it's time for the actual heir to the King of Denmark, Ryan Holmes. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
He still does a sex.
For listening to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, on iHeartRadio, we've got podcast channels. We got all kinds of stuff. To find everything, go to monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. There are photos up there. There's stories, all kinds of cool stuff at monsters.fm. So if you're a Monster fan, check it out. Find out what Savannah's doing at Gatorland. Find out what Carlos has got going on with his podcast. Find out what Angel's doing, what I got going on. And, of course, the heir to the King of Denmark, Ryan Holmes.
Yes! I know people wait for that third yes, the third bump.
It's my favorite part.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
It's like a cookie, you know?
It is. I'm so happy to be back. Welcome back. Happy Monday, Orlando. Oh, man, what a great show we had today. Savannah, you're back.
Yay!
After a long time, I'm sorry I was not there waiting at the airport for you. I did not know when you were coming back. I waited for 3 days, but you never showed up.
You shot me the bird, and you messaged me while I was gone and told me that you missed my face, but you still were among the many that didn't care I was back.
I totally care. care when you're back. I love you.
And he had a sign. Great. He was waiting. Cardboard has gator girl.
You didn't send me the exact date, so I just sat there for a while, and then I got hungry, and I left.
He painted a little girl in overall, blonde hair, green eyelashes.
Don't make me cry again.
No.
Damn.
Wow. Well, today's been a great show, but Carlos, you've been on fire today,
thank
man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
That brings me to this. So I'm going to start proclamation number one. Check out the YouTube channel if you haven't done so far. Do that. I'm going to start clipping out the show every day, giving like a visual best of.
Oh, good. And go I like on, that.
And number one segment is definitely going to be the Jamaican gator thing. I enjoy
thank
that.
Thank you, Ryan.
That was so funny.
Thank you,
I like you, Ja.
And, I love you.
And if you want to check out more comedy from me, check out WinterHavenLaughs.com. I'm doing that show with all the guys from Real Laughs, and that's going to be a ton of fun. Oh, man. Savannah made my day this morning,
how?
By the way. She showed me the funniest video I've ever seen, and I posted it on Monsters.fm. And it is a video of a man downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown Orlando.
Right, I heard about this. I haven't seen it.
Right in front of Sack Comedy Lab. A man assaults a woman from the video.
It looked like the woman was assaulting the man initially.
No. The dude had spit on her.
Ah, okay.
The homeless man spits on the girl that works at the Italian restaurant right there.
Oh, I go to that place.
Yes. That place on a Friday, Saturday night after 1 o'clock in the morning is probably some of the best people watching that you're going to see pound for pound in downtown. And this video...
Papapinos.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this video reflects that.
It's so amazing. Go to Monsters.fm and look at this video while I talk about this.
So Florida. I have not seen this yet.
No, just a heads
that
up.
That is hilarious.
That's not safe for work. You got to be careful with the audio.
Wow. Oh, okay. I bet it's famous. I never heard any of that.
I didn't hear the audio.
Yeah, the
audio
is true. Yeah, we got to be careful with that.
How does he keep his head on during that?
Because he's the most amazing bunny. That's why.
He's magical.
That's the magical Easter Bunny.
The Easter Bunny keeps his head on all the time.
Do you know how special I felt today? I got to give a shout out to one of our best listeners, Miss Rita. I think she maybe hit us all up. She somehow gets these videos first. When I clicked on this video, it had 800 views.
Yeah.
It was like, I was like, I feel so special because you know this is going pure viral.
Oh, I wish I would have known that earlier. We should have put that up earlier and mentioned it earlier. That's great.
There was another guy downtown, Jolly Juice, and he's the one that has one of the original videos.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Downtown guys, Orlando, man.
Yeah.
Sunday night. Go to monsters.fm to see this video. It's labeled. What's it labeled? Hold on. What would you label it? The Easter Bunny has got them hands.
He does.
He does have them hands.
Yeah, just do Orlando / Easter and Easter Bunny, and that's the only thing that's going
to
come up.
The best part is he lays him down, knocks out the guy, and then they cut back to the bunny after the police arrive. And the bunny is straight doing boxing exercises, showing his prowess.
It's badass. It's monsters.fm.
How
go
about
look
this?
At it.
Officer doesn't even flinch.
That is my favorite part. The officer is not trying to stop the Easter Bunny at all. No, the Easter Bunny just kind of steps back and is like, you got it from here. Yeah. And there's no arrest.
No.
The helmet of the Easter Bunny never comes off.
Never.
No. That's so great.
Through an entire fight. Like, I've gotten into fights and I've lost articles of clothing very easily. Shoes, hats, everything.
Easter Bunny just throwing the biscuits,
isn't
he?
And the best part about an Easter Bunny punching you in the face is the ears bob back and forth while it does, so it looks extra.
The bunny knows how to fight. You can just look at somebody and go,
cutest fight ever.
That was the most cutest fight. And this cop is talking to the bunny now, like, are you? Oh, and then the woman goes for another punch. God bless our cops, too. They have to roll up on these situations in the midst of, you know, doing security.
You are right. That's one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time. That's hilarious.
Florida man. You know, there's a reason there's a Florida man challenge. There's a reason that people come to Florida.
So this is a local thing.
This happened downtown on Sunday.
This happened downtown last night.
Okay, this will go viral.
It already has. It's all over the place right now.
The bunny's giving daps afterwards, like he just won the welterweight title.
It's amazing.
It is.
Is there a worse fictional character that you could get your ass whipped by? Like, this is pretty embarrassing.
Tooth Fairy.
No, but you got The Rock. He was also
a Smurf.
Oh, then you're covered in blue and red. Oh, you look like an American flag.
Oh, a Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
I think a snowman is probably, because you know, like, if I just wait him out, he melts, you know?
I think the only, like, thing sadder than getting beat up by an Easter Bunny is like a full-on Santa Claus.
The most impressive thing about that is his head remains...
It must be a suit that is attached somehow, because there's no... Normally get a little space.
The level of Easter Bunny costume technology that has been upped in the last few years has gone... I'm not worried about AI if this is what we're putting in, Easter Bunny technology.
And you know what? You've never seen anyone dressed like Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or anything ever, you know, get involved in anything like this and look cool. Somehow, Easter Bunny looks cool as hell.
100%.
He gets involved. Look at this guy screaming.
That's my pizza joint, too. When I go downtown, that's my joint. They have a margarita pizza there. That's not what the Italians call margarita. It's a proper sauce. And I used to live on Washington at the View, and I would roll up there, and you could pretty much count on a fight any late night.
This is Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday.
And full bellies fighting.
Easter Sunday, and you got your ass stomped by the Easter Bunny.
And that's the thing. That's badass. You see a fight downtown, it's usually two, like, bro dudes. Yeah. What happens first? Shirts come off, they bow up, a lot of pushing, and it's very, you're like, oh, that is aggressive. There is nothing more aggressive than a man, because he can't see.
Right. Just a little mesh. Tiny, where probably the mouth or the nostrils, you're not seeing much.
And well, he's still getting those hands.
This guy got his ass beat by the girl and by the Easter Bunny.
Yes.
I mean, he does.
Yeah, be careful with that audio.
Yeah, don't turn the audio on, apparently.
There's a couple different views, and you got some guys that are adding commentary that are, you know, they're talking like they're downtown.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Monsters.fm. Go check it out.
It is my favorite thing in the world. It brings me to my next point of proclamation is I'm giving up working out. I went back over the weekend.
I mean, you're so jacked now.
You started working out?
Yeah, you're so jacked. I hate to see you quit.
When did we miss this?
This is not the reaction you want to hear.
Say it's not so.
But my plan was like I could get into wispy tank top shape as quick as Angel starting later.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Right.
That's what we all thought too.
But I honestly think I could. But now, like, because the point, like, what is the point of getting big and jacked right now in my 30s?
None.
Because, like,
you're totally giving up. You are not trying to impress your girl at all. You're letting that beard grow out like you look like a homeless man.
That's true.
Now you're letting your body go. Like, all the things that she thought were great about you are all gone.
In fact, when I first saw the bunny video, I thought the bunny was beating you up.
I have reached a sad point in my life where, like, my girlfriend liked the beard for a long time, very encouraging of the beard. And then on Saturday, she goes, so are we going to trim this down or cut it or
you
whatever?
You need to trim it a little bit.
And I'm like,
bit.
No, the whole point is to get it long. The sides need to be long so they come down with the rest
of it. Yeah, but you got to look clean. You
know, I don't see the upside.
I don't either. What do you get at the end of this?
I don't know.
What's
see,
the end game?
The whole point is to get a big old beard, get really jacked, and then have no problems in life walking around. But now that I've seen an Easter Bunny whoop a man's ass, I don't know what's terrifying anymore. And it's definitely not going to be me.
Now, let me ask you this, Ryan, away from your workout. How does this bunny man get his name out now, right? He's the masked bunny, but he's like, you see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I want another video of another fight. Let's meet in June. And out of nowhere, the bunny comes in. And then Orlando's known for the super bunny.
He's getting the super bunny.
You know what's going to happen.
A furry fighting league.
You're going to have a bunch of guys now in all kinds of costumes in downtown Orlando.
Because now we see
Because we don't know how to chill with this.
Yeah.
And so now every dude, like everybody right now that lives in the greater downtown area, is calling up every costume place in town trying to get a cool costume. You watch.
So
next
good.
Weekend.
Oh, my God.
This, yeah. Friday, Saturday, costume crazy.
But you know what? That's the great thing about Orlando. Like, I would love to see someone dressed as a squirrel downtown doing that.
Oh, yeah. The triple F, the Furry Fighting Federation.
Yeah!
I would. Because you know there's got to be a raccoon. There's got to be a raccoon.
You don't know who's going to be good and bad. It's like the Masked Singer, but like with full-on bare-knuckle brawling.
Texting service second in. The Easter Bunny beatdown is hilarious. You got to see it. It's a Monsters.fm.
He's known.
And he's wearing furry gloves while he's punching a man in the face.
Those are at least 3-ounce mitts, man. That's proper UFC.
And his head never never even turn. It is on as tight as it can be. I love that.
Oh, man. The only thing better would be if he did get punched once and the head did
spun
a full
around. Around yeah. and stayed on.
Oh, well, that's awesome. So proclamation number three, we're starring the Triple F Furry yeah, Fighting baby. Federation.
Did that guy ever try to hit the bunny?
I'd probably
no,
try.
I gotta watch again.
No, he had his hands full.
Could you imagine? The guy, that dude's probably on meth. Spitting on people, fighting a girl.
It is sadder now that I know it's a homeless person.
Yeah.
No, but he started it. He's yeah. being an idiot.
Oh, she is. She beat him so bad, his shoes came off.
Well, check out that video, monsters.fm, and so it shall be.
Nice.
Oh, you done?
Well, it's the time, right?
It's the time. Yeah. All right. This is the time for you to say where you're going to be on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Saturday night, Winter Haven, winterhavenlaughs.com, winterhavenlaughs.com. And then check out Poking the Bear on the iHeart channel as well. Very fun.
There you go. All right. You're listening to The Monsters of the Morning. Hey, you're listening to The Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. We appreciate you guys tuning in and checking out our website at monsters.fm, our YouTube channel, Real Radio Monsters on YouTube. So there's all kinds of ways to check out the show. We appreciate it. We've got podcasts that you can check out, the To the Top podcast that Carlos is doing. We've got, Best of podcasts. We got Ryan Holmes podcast. Everybody's got something, man. So check it out if you get a chance.
I'm going to make a podcast soon.
You should do it, Linda. What's her name? Linda Miller.
I'm working on my podcast. I haven't quite gotten there yet because I have a lot of other things going on, but I'm working on it.
Well, you're busy. It'd be hard for you to do a podcast.
Yeah, I can do it. I can do a million things at the same time. I'm like Britney Spears.
Okay.
You can do it.
Hey, so how many times have you read a story and then you're like, oh, that's not going to work, and then you read the entirety of it and you're like, oh, yeah, that could work. This is a headline that I saw, and I almost didn't even bring it up because I'm like, oh, this is stupid. That's not going to work. And until I just read it, I'm like, oh, okay. This is ABC is remaking episodes of All in the Family and the Jeffersons with new stars. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter who it is. That's not going to be good. And then I read stars. And then I'm like, oh, wow. So who do you think, before I tell you who it is, who do you think for All in the Family they're going to have as... You got Edith Bunker and Archie Bunker. So who do you think is going to play Archie? Who's going to play Edith?
John Goodman has to be one of them.
That's not a bad guess. That's not a bad casting, but no, it's not him. Hmm. You take a guess?
I don't know why I thought Bill Burr popped into my head. Okay. But even though I know Archie Bunker and him are totally different kind of mindsets, but still kind of curmudgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit.
Angel, you want to take a guess?
Man, I don't have any kind of point. Are these regular TV actors?
No. These are, well, one started in TV, but really went to films and is a big deal. And the other is a big deal as well.
Could it be Dion Cole? Because he was just here. Is that why you grabbed it?
No. It's, okay, so ABC is doing remakes of episodes of All in the Family with Woody Harrelson as Archie and Marissa Tomei as Edith.
Yeah, I can see that.
Those are two like big time actors.
Who's the guy?
Woody Harrelson, you know, from Cheers. Woody from Cheers. He's done a bunch of other stuff.
Who Woody Harrelson is.
Oh, okay.
He's playing Archie?
Yes. Oh, he'll do great.
Is this one episode they're redoing for like, or is this a series?
Oh, no, this is cool. This is a one off.
They're also going to do the Jeffersons.
I can guess who that is.
So who do you think's going to play George Jefferson and Wheezy?
Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart's incorrect. But.
In that realm?
In that realm. You're reading it, right, Angel? So yeah. You know?
So it's just one episode.
Who do you think, Savannah?
I have no idea.
Is going to play George and Wheezy.
George and Wheezy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it has to be Wanda Sykes and somebody
else. Oh, you're right. Wanda Sykes is one. Wanda Sykes is one. And the other is Jamie Foxx.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they're going to do... Interpret, sure. Like, they're going to try and impersonate them?
No, check this out. So you're going to love this. The way that this story is written, The Disney-owned broadcast network ABC is teaming up with Jimmy Kimmel and legendary producer Norman Lear for a live 90-minute star-studded tribute to classic sitcoms.
Wow. That's
cool. All in the Family and its spinoff, The Jeffersons. The event, live in front of a studio audience, Norman Lear's All in the Family and The Jeffersons, is set to air May 22nd and will feature Woody Harrelson taking on Carol O'Connor's famed role as Archie Bunker. Jamie Foxx will be playing George Harrison in the what made Sherman Hemsley famous.
Okay, so remember, if you watch The Jeffersons, and I did when I was a kid, there was a white guy that always would come in. Tom Willis was his name.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to be the nerdy white guy that bumps in and is like the nerdy white guy? Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay.
That's going to be...
Who's Sally Struthers? Who's playing her?
I don't know. That would be for the All in the Family thing, and it doesn't say here.
I think that's cool. I think that's a great idea, because it's not something that can sustain a full season. You know, like, you couldn't just, like, recreate it and stuff, and this is more interesting.
But a one-off with those really, really great actors, it would be... I mean, I'm going to want to watch it for sure.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I did see where they are bringing Frasier back. Frasier is yeah. I liked the show. I liked Frasier, though. But
it was good for his time.
Yeah.
It'd be like bringing back Seinfeld or something. Yeah. It's an interesting idea. I don't really want to see it.
Yeah, well, baby, I hear the blues are calling.
What's he doing, a podcast?
Yeah. Right.
It's him at home doing a podcast.
Yeah, there's no such thing as most of the time these like late night talk shows.
Right.
Well, he was a radio guy.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But he would take calls like the doc, you know, like the... Yeah, I don't care about the trials and tribulations of some rich-ass doctor in Seattle.
No, not at that. It doesn't strike me. I always found that show kind of funny. If it was on, I'd watch it.
What does it matter if he's rich, though? I don't get that.
It just doesn't seem interesting to me. Just doesn't seem interesting.
There's no struggle in that.
Yeah, there's no...
I loved Frasier. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, I never dug it.
There was a lot of old shows where people were rich, though. Like, what's the one where he adopts the kid?
Different Strokes?
Yeah.
There was, used to be, a lot of, the...
The white man coming in,
rich white guy,
like,
was a storyline or a premise. We don't really do that anymore, though. Yeah, I guess I know I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
because they're are you better than me? I don't need that.
Really,
I
want to see your head. Huh?
I want to see the struggle of the people of where I'm at, and it gives me hope. If you're just rich with problems, I'm like, but you're rich.
So yeah. Beverly Hillbillies, you're not a fan.
The Beverly Hillbillies never did it for me. I don't know why.
Really?
It
was way out of your range, too. I mean,
no, but it was that Nick at Night time. I love a lot of that stuff just simply because of
me
Nick
too.
At Night.
Me too.
But I Love Lucy, great. But when the Beverly Hillbillies would come on, I'm like, relatable.
Yeah.
Well, they're too rich. They're essentially billionaires in that show, right?
You say they're too rich, but then people look up to people, like basketball players and rappers and stuff that have a lot of money. They're rich. Nobody cares about that. But if it's a show...
They have that struggle, though.
Yeah, and they're able to do things that we're not. That's part of their flow, is that we admire their flow. We look at it and we go, damn, man, look at them doing their thing. Somebody strikes it rich or whatever. I'm not going to go deep into this. It's not like I hate rich people, obviously, but... I think Frasier would be kind of, because also it's Kelsey Grammer, we know already. It's like, dude.
And he's got kind of what we know about Kelsey Grammer as a person now is kind of odd.
Hey, you mentioned something, Beverly Hills Billies. Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever find out how much money did they really have?
In today's dollars?
How much money did they have? Were they billionaires?
No, they weren't billionaires.
Did they have 100 million? Did they have 10 million?
I thought it was $10 million, what I thought it was.
Think about that,
They hit the oil, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought it was $10 million. At that time, it was crazy. Did you see they're redoing the $6 million man, but it's not going to be the $6 million man. It's the $6 billion man.
Yeah, that's been on the table for a while.
They had to make it.
And Jim Carrey was supposed to be in it, and then I hadn't heard anything else. But
yeah,
I don't know. It seems like something that could totally be redone.
Yeah. But what are you looking up, Ryan?
Okay, so the answer that I'm getting right now is that in one episode, Granny withdraws money and says she has $60 million in the bank account, and then later episodes say $120 million.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Interesting.
So yeah, it's about four times that. So have roughly half $1 billion.
You never found that
money.
Show funny. God, I thought it was one of the funniest shows ever. But just different people have different senses of comedy.
I live in Apopka, down Holmesy shows like that, and the what's the one where they're in the water tower, the girls bathe in that.
Oh, you're talking about Petticoat Junction.
Petticoat Junction or anything where it's folksy. I don't know, because
if that for me was too close to reality, because when I go eat at Robinson's in Apopka, that's what it looks like. So I'm like, I want to take myself out of
it. But you just said earlier that you wanted some people to be at your own, on your own level. So that's why I'm like, okay, then you must like the Beverly Hillbillies, but then that they're on
your
level. Yeah, but
they got snotty and snarky, didn't they? I got that money. No, I don't know. I'm a man of contradictions, Rollins. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why I don't like it. Everybody else seems to enjoy it. It's just one of those things I'm like, I don't get it.
Okay, all right. Just curious. Savannah, you're going to be at Gatorland today?
I will. I will be at Gatorland today, so please come out and see me. It was super fun yesterday to see all my animals. I posted a video on Gatorland's Facebook if you guys want to check that out.
Yeah.
And, yep. And then I'll post a new video on our YouTube tonight from Jamaica.
Ah, very good. And then, Carlos, you got the To The Top podcast?
This week, we will have some new To The Top podcast on probably Tuesdays and or
Who's
Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Who's your special guest this week?
Ooh, Savannah.
Ooh, she's super famous.
Special guest. I am also uploading all of the To The Tops that you hear on the Monsters. So you can get two ways. You can go to monsters.fm and get it, or you can type into the iHeartRadio app, To The Top with Carlos, and you'll find it.
What you got this week, Angel?
This week, I think I have a weekend off.
You need it.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
So, but hit me up on all social media platforms. It's Official Angel.
I had a weekend off too, Angel. And is it weird when you look and you're like, I don't have anything to do?
It's like, it's Monday right now, and I'm looking at the weekend. I'm like, okay, I might actually be able to go do nothing.
Yeah. Well, just be prepared, because on Thursday, we're going to be up really late. Because Thursday night, we're going to Sinopolis to see Avengers Endgame.
Super excited.
And if you want to win tickets to go to the movie theater with us, it's thanks to Jeff Kaufman and Kaufman and Lynn. Be here on Wednesday around 9 o'clock in your best nerdy costume, and we're going to pick people that day to be able to come watch the movie with us. And this Saturday...
WinterHavenLaughs.com. That's where you can get tickets to check out the show with me, Devin Siebold, James John, Miguel Colon, and Ross Padgett. So do that.
You want to pick up a copy of my comic book? It's called Jolly Jane. You can get it by going to BigCityComics.com. That's BigCityComics.com. And if you order it, we'll mail it to you with a print as well. It's pretty cool. So check it out at BigCityComics.com. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters. Then it's the Jim Colbert Show. After the Jim Colbert Show, it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs with Monster Comics. We're back tomorrow to do our thing. From Savannah, Angel, Carlos, and Ryan Holmes.
And the leader of this mess, the merry man, Russ. All right, we Hammond, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell up out of here.
Swirl.
$1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1.